MacCast, Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the show. I am glad you are here with me for this one because I have a great show for you. I'm really excited about this episode. It is a supersized episode, so you're going to have to strap in on this one. It is a bit longer than normal, which I guess is my way in some ways of making up for a little bit of lost time. There's kind of a missing episode this month. So you're going to get a double supersized one here before the end of April. And it's a good one because we're going to be talking about Apple Watch. You have asked me about my impressions on Apple Watch since I received mine. I was in that lucky group, received mine on Friday. So I've had a few days with it. So I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. But I also wanted to do more because I don't want just my opinion. I want you to be able to get some additional thoughts from some of the people that I trust, some of the people that I go to when I have my own questions, some of my peers in the podcasting community, and I have a great list of people for you. So I asked some of my friends, some people I know to come talk to me, and I got some great response. So we're going to hear in this episode from David Sparks, Mac Sparky. We're going to hear from Veronica Belmont, Irfan Elijah from Cult of Mac. We are going to hear from Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast and our friend Ken Ray over at Mac OS Ken. I know, can you believe it? It's like a who's who of Mac podcasters. I was really thankful that they all agreed to come chat with us about the Apple Watch. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy this episode. I guess I'll start with some of my initial thoughts and impressions on the Apple Watch. I will just say, on receiving it, on getting the package, I was surprised at how hefty it was. Now, I got the Sport Edition, the 38 millimeter with the blue band, so it's the aluminum case. And the box that it comes in, I actually did an unboxing video. So if you want to actually see what the box looks like, what comes in the box, how it's packaged and stuff like that, you can check out my YouTube channel. You can check out my Vimeo. I also put a post up on maccast.com to make it easy for you to find. So head there. You can see the full unboxing. But the box actually had some heft to it. It had some weight to it. I think Ken weighed it out, and I think he talks about that in this episode. So you get the actual weight of the box. But in opening it, you know, it's that great Apple packaging. One thing that I really enjoyed was the inner sort of box that the watch comes in is this really nice plastic case. I immediately thought it'd be great if I could somehow adapt it. I'm hoping someone figures out a way to hack it into some sort of charging case. We had heard rumors leading up that Apple might do a charging case that would be included with the Apple Watch. I think that is the case for the edition version, the gold. So I guess if you pay $18,000 or $17,000 for your watch, you get a charging case to go along with it. But I was hoping that that was going to be sort of, you know, standard fare, but doesn't look like that really is the case. You'd have to kind of hack in your own, and maybe someone will do an Instructables or something like that. I'm going to keep my eye out on the internet. And if you are sort of a DIYer, a maker type person, and you figure out a way to make a really cool Apple Watch stand, show it to me. I'd love to see different designs and things like that. That's kind of fun. But in taking it out, you know, I had my try on, so I knew a little bit about the build of materials and how the fit and finish were. But I was very, very impressed, specifically by the band itself. I was not expecting to really like the fluoroelastomer band, but it is a very different material than any other sort of plastic rubber sports band I think that I've ever experienced. You know, I'm not a huge watch aficionado, but, you know, I've had various sort of Casios, and I had my Pebble watch, and this is a whole different feel, a whole different sort of tactile experience. Let's just say that. And I really, really like it. And then the watch itself, the display is gorgeous. The just weight of it is nice. It feels solid, but not heavy, I think is the best way to describe that. The digital crown, just how it scrolls back and forth, really, really nice. Just really what you've come to expect from Apple. I will say, sort of sticking it on your wrist, it does kind of feel like a little sort of block sitting on top of it. It's not quite as maybe form-fitting, I think, as future versions will be. But overall, just very impressive. Really, really nice job by Apple. And the display is amazing. Super deep blacks, bright, bright whites, very, very readable. The resolution, you know, you're not going to see pixels on this thing when you're using it at a normal viewing distance. It just looks really, really great. And after using it for about 4 days now, I have to say it's super comfortable on my wrist too. I don't even notice really that I'm wearing it until I feel the Taptic Engine. And the Taptic Engine's a neat thing too. It's much more subtle. I think I talked about this when I talked about my try-on appointment. It's much more subtle than I expected. I sometimes don't really notice it. And it's actually something I kind of appreciate, having moved from the Pebble, which really had, you know, just your standard sort of buzzing vibration to it. I had the privilege of being on Mac Break Weekly this week, actually today. It's Tuesday as I'm recording this. And so if you want to check that out, we talked again about Apple Watch, among other things, with Andy Anako and Renee Ritchie and Leo. Really great show. I had a fun time being on there. But Leo felt that the buzzing was more just like any other kind of, you know, that the Taptic Engine really wasn't that different. And I totally disagree. I get a different feel from it. I won't say it feels like someone necessarily tapping on your wrist as much as it feels. There's just more, it's more of a solid kind of feeling. I called it almost like a thunking or on your wrist. It's almost like a clunk. It's really something I think you just have to feel to understand. But I think I like it. I like it better than just vibration. And Renee Ritchie commented that, you know, it's nice that it's silent, so you're not so embarrassed like you are with your phone when your phone is like even in silent mode and it's buzzing. And the iPhone 6 Plus is has a pretty loud buzz to it even when it's on silent mode. So much more subtle, much more sort of private. And I certainly am appreciating that part of it. Something I'm very impressed with that I wasn't necessarily expecting to be impressed with is the whole activity tracker and the little movement rings, or, you know, the sort of thing that motivates you to stand up and move around. You'll hear a few people talk about that in this episode, and I have immediately been taken by that because I've used, again, other things. I was using a Fitbit at one point. I was using the Misfit app with my Pebble. And while those things were great at tracking steps and sort of doing those sorts of things, they weren't quite as active as the whole workout activity system that's built into the Apple Watch. And I'm finding it to be, you know, very quickly a lot more motivating. The awards, I think I tweeted this out, I got one of the awards and it was sort of this just, it looked like a bullseye. It was like concentric rings in sort of a metal tone, and it sort of flips around. I'm assuming it means I got my target. Congratulations. But there was no words. There was no kind of pizzazz to it. So I wasn't really motivated by that, but I am motivated to kind of try and reach those goals. So I found at the end of the day, when I'm looking at those rings and they're just almost full, it's motivating me to actually get up, get out, do a walk, do a little bit more exercise so that I can meet that. And that's something I can't say any of the other fitness trackers really did for me. And I don't know why that is. It's just sort of a psychological thing, but it does seem to be working out. I also like the fact that the notifications are much more rich and interactive. I can actually, you know, do things on those. And that, of course, that's by design. I don't think I'm telling you anything new there, but in experiencing it, and again, comparing to what I had before with my Pebble, which was great. I loved notifications on my Pebble. The Apple Watch, to me, it seems to be taking it to the next level. It's sort of the next logical step, and I'm enjoying that. Glances, I'm not really sure I figured those things out yet. Little bits of information. Some of them I'm finding useful, some of them maybe not so useful. So I'm going to probably have to tweak that in the settings a little bit. Apps themselves, few of those are useful. Also, I'm really finding that I'm really uninstalling a lot of apps. A few sort of key standouts right off the bat. The Fandango application has been really nice. It was, I went to the movies, and to be able to have my movie ticket right on there, although I did have an issue with the theater that I went to not having the scanners. So I don't know how well it works from a scanning perspective because I wasn't able to actually do it, but just having it on my watch was really, really neat. And then also, like, I use the tip calculator for CalcBot, which is a great app. And my fitness app that I use for doing exercising, Carrot, actually lets you start and run your little, they call it 7 minutes in hell workout from the watch. And I'm also really enjoying Trivia Crack, which is a game, a trivia game. I've challenged maybe a few of you to a few games on Trivia Crack, a little bit addicting. You can actually play a full game on it. Now, I don't think I'd want to do it, you know, completely full time, but it's good if, you know, I'm in another room away from my phone and I just want to get a couple quick questions in. So enjoying a few of the apps. Again, I think it's going to take a little while for developers to kind of figure out how to make those things work and get them really optimized for the watch and figure out, you know, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Trying to think of anything else that is really stood out with the Apple Watch for me. Of course, you know, just having the time on your wrist, having the notifications, being able to see when my next meeting is, all very, very handy stuff. Battery life has been generally pretty good. You'll again hear in this episode that I had one little issue with battery life, but I won't spoil that for you. But really, I am really liking the Apple Watch. And, you know, it does have those hints of being a first version product. I think there's room for improvement. I've had a few little crashes, a few little stumbles in performance, like people have noted in some of the reviews and things like that. So that those things do exist. But I think those are all going to get worked out. I think a lot of that stuff is software tweaks. Overall, I think the hardware and the platform, very, very impressive. And I think Apple did a really, really great job on this. So those are my thoughts. But, you know, let's talk to some other folks. Let's really dive in and see what people are thinking about the Apple Watch. So here we go. Here are my interviews on the Apple Watch. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I am watchified. How are you?
I am watchified too. Yeah, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
We've had now, I'm assuming you got yours on Friday. I know some people were getting them like Saturday, I think.
Oh, wow. Believe I feel bad for them. I'm 12 hours in the future then, as far as they're concerned.
Meaning these were people that were supposed to get theirs later. Actually, I think you're in this group, so maybe we should talk about this a little bit. But yeah, we just wanted to get some folks in to talk about our first impressions about Apple Watch. People have been asking, you know, what do you think? What's going on? So I think maybe let's start with your delivery date, because you had some interesting stuff go on there, right?
Yeah, so I had a problem actually ordering the watch through the Apple Store app for iOS. And instead of getting in the first, like, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, like so many people I know, it took me 18 minutes because I finally jumped off of the Apple Store app for iOS and got onto my Mac.
Right.
And of course, those 18 minutes, it seemed like were going to be the difference between getting yours or getting mine, the first day versus first month. My shipping time was supposed to be May 13th to the 27th. And then last Wednesday, as we record this, I got a notice from Apple saying, hey, we charged your card. And then I got another notice on Thursday saying, hey, your Apple Watch will be there tomorrow. And then Friday, weirdest thing, actually, it seems like I was the first of anybody I knew to get mine, like of all the people sitting around waiting for them.
Right.
I was actually the first guy that I personally knew who got one. So,
you had an early delivery time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was like 1:30 in the afternoon, okay. Which for me is early. Usually I'm sitting here until like 6 something,
right,
on iPhone days. But yeah, my Apple Watch was here fairly early.
Yeah, well, you're 3 hours ahead of me, so you got that advantage too, right?
Well, there is that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you say that, though. And let's see. I think I went on to Voxer to talk to all of the people there about their Apple Watches because I couldn't believe that I was the only one. And the only other person who responded that he'd actually gotten one yet was Doc Rock out in Hollywood, who's, of course, 5 hours behind me.
I think he's in Hawaii.
I'm sorry. I said Hawaii. Yeah, that's right. Hawaii. Yes.
He feels like he's in Hollywood, though.
Well, the thing is, I got the time zone right, but I got the city wrong. Yeah. So he's 5 hours when it's 1 o'clock
behind,
here,
yeah.
then what time is it there? It's like 7 in the morning, right?
Yeah, 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. or 8 in the morning. 8 in the morning. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's fairly early in the morning, and yet by close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon here, which would be 10 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii, he was like, yeah, I've already got mine. I haven't opened it yet because I'm doing the whole unboxing video. But yeah. So,
wow. Yeah.
I think he was actually in the first round, but I was not supposed to be, and yet I got lucky. And and apologies to everybody who was supposed to be in the first round and hasn't gotten theirs yet.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that more. I'm not going to jump into that too much because I think it's been talked about here and there, and I don't want to bring up frustrations for a lot of people. Let's just say, you know, my synopsis was, is Apple really kind of messed up expectations in terms of delivery times, and it's chaotic. Nobody knows what's going on. Like,
you want to know, though, a fascinating take on that is Philip Elmer DeWitt at Fortune. He is an Apple fan. He is an Apple watcher. He's been writing about Apple, I want to say, for 20 years,
right.
Although only for Fortune for, I think, the past 10. And his view on this is that the launch was seamless, that it was absolutely perfect, because he's looking at it in terms of how many people were standing outside of an Apple store frustrated and how many cameras caught people standing outside of an Apple store frustrated. He actually sees this launch as a masterful move for Angela Ahrendts. And I will say, from a business point of view, I can see that.
Right.
From an early adopter point of view, from a, dare I say, fanboy point of view, and certainly from expectations. I mean, you and I have already talked before today. I could not begin to imagine doing what Apple is trying to do. I think they were smart to say that there's a 2-week range in which you will get your Apple Watch. I think it was probably a bad idea to say April 24th.
Yes.
So loudly and so often at the same time. Had they said end of April, beginning of May, I think everybody would have lost their minds. It's like, okay, so they're having trouble making them, so they don't know what they're doing, so there's an issue with the software. Well, I heard this and I heard that. I mean, they kind of had to give you a hard date, but they also fairly quickly, I mean, basically as soon as you placed your order, said, yeah, about that hard date, it's a hardening date.
Right, yeah.
It's not solid, per se.
Yeah, which immediately set a bunch of people on kilter.
Sure.
Or on tilt. And it's been that way since then. But let's get into something more positive. Let's get into, so we have had them for a few days, I guess a couple days now, right? Like Friday, we're recording this Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I'm trying not to think about it, which may sound crazy, but I'm trying not to. You and I talked a few days ago. I think we talked the first day that we actually had them, and you had already run your battery out. And my battery was getting fairly low, but I had spent a lot of time, you know, changing the faces and changing, you know, stuff. Changed my face again, by the way, since you and I talked 3 days ago or 4 days ago. I was thinking about what you had said about simplicity. Is that the one? I can't remember if that's what it's called or not. There's sort of the simple one that you had said, I wish I could just get 369 on there.
Right.
369 and 12, rather. And you can. And so now that I finally found that, now that I went in and played a little bit more, that's what I'm doing. So I did change the color. I put a little red in there because apparently I like to have my eyes stabbed every time I look at the every time I look at the Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's like the simple watch face or something, right?
Yeah, I think so. But mostly I'm not really playing with it that much anymore, which may sound crazy, but I'm trying to let it go ahead and do for me exactly what it's going to do. And there have been a few times where that has worked perfectly already. Like I was walking to the grocery store the other day because we've got one fairly close to the house, and I'm trying to be more fit, which the Apple Watch is also theoretically helping me do, although it'll take more than 3 days to find out. I'm walking to the store the other day, and my wife messages me to say that we need something else from the store. I normally keep my phone in my coat pocket because I'm using Bluetooth headphones and not, I like it to be a little bit looser. I don't like it right in my pocket because I don't want it to get scratched, and I don't want to, you know, if I fall, I don't want to break it, and I don't want to have a resurgence of bend gait or anything like that. So I keep it in a fairly loose pocket, which means it would have just vibrated, which means I wouldn't have heard it, which means I would have missed her message, which means I would have gone home without the thing that she wanted. Now, funny enough, I went home without the thing she wanted anyway because I still forgot. But
right.
I did get her message. Yeah, no, not the Apple Watch's fault at all, because I did get her message on the way. And then I got to like play around with some stuff. Like I sent her one of those big, goofy, you know, animated emoji thumbs up things.
Right.
I assumed that she was going to get the tiny little, you know, regular emoji that we always get. It's actually sending a pic. It's actually sending, I think it's a PNG or a screen grab or something, which is kind of neat.
It's animated, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's an animated GIF, but
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
I mean, there was actually, it seems like I saw something. It said attachment, I think, when I sent it. But yeah, it doesn't tell you what kind of attachment it is. It just says attachment. There's probably a way to go in and find out.
Yeah, we got to dig in on that one. But it's cool that it even works at all. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was totally surprised by that. I really thought it would just convert to a regular emoji. Now, I haven't tried that with somebody who's on an Android phone, but I assume it would be the same thing, but I don't really know. As far as everything else, though, I mean, I seem to be more engaged as far as the activity thing. I seem to be more engaged as far as making sure that I'm actually going out and getting as much activity as it wants me to. I mean, I was doing that with the Fitbit as well, except the Fitbit is not quite as insistent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it won't remind you throughout the day, I don't think, unless I turn that setting off because I didn't want it to. I'm surprised how little I stand up, it turns out. when it tells me, or maybe it's just automatically doing that at the end of every hour. I'm not sure, but it's making me stand up a lot, which if you had asked me, I would have said I stand up plenty, but right. Apparently not so much. The one thing that I have found frustrating is the App Store for it, honestly, has been the most frustrating thing. Supposedly there are 3,000 apps out there. If I go into the App Store and look through the different categories, I'm just not finding that many. And I'm not saying, well, I need a million apps. I'm just saying so far I haven't found like the app that is absolutely the one that I need. At the same time, right before we started recording, I got an email from a guy, Luigi, wrote to me. He was actually one of the people like you're talking about who ordered immediately. He's supposed to be on the 24th time cycle, but for some reason, I don't know if it's that his wasn't delivered or if he just wasn't able to get it. But he doesn't have his Apple Watch yet. And yet he's kind of appreciative of the fact that he doesn't have his Apple Watch yet because he's listening to what everybody else is saying, right?
Right.
I guess friends and podcasters and things like that. His idea is that there's kind of not one thing, not one killer app. He wrote in his email to me, the power of the watch is that of a wearable device, one that is with us constantly, one that can integrate multiple data flows in a compact, effective information nexus. The watch's use case is not a single killer app. It's complex, but it is powerful. Even though it's not, he went into this whole thing about like, so if I'm driving and my watch knows that I'm near a store that I normally go to, it's the middle of a work day, but it knows there's nothing on my calendar, then it can tell me to go ahead and stop in and do this thing. And that's what he's saying is fairly complex. Even that, he says, is not a killer feature, but it is an instance of a use case. I don't know. He's got this thing. What he's saying basically is he doesn't get it. But he's not saying that in a bad way. And I'll say, I mean, it's so early. It's only 3 or 4 days. There are parts of it that are already starting to become part of my life, like the moving around more and all that stuff, the fitness angle of it especially.
Yeah.
Whether any of us really get it yet, I don't know. But I mean, it's already sort of slotting in. I was afraid that I was going to be like, oh, I got to put on the Apple Watch because I bought the Apple Watch and I want to use the Apple Watch. It's already becoming a... it's becoming part of what I had always hoped that wearable technology would be.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, is there anything about the watch that, you know, you're finding surprising in terms of, I'm using this thing and I wouldn't have thought that I would have used it? But it sounds like you maybe answered that question already.
Well, again, only for, I mean, the fitness thing is actually something that I was looking forward to. Mm-hmm. So I'm still on Weight Watchers, or I'm back on Weight Watchers, actually, because, you know, because I am.
Yeah.
And it does not have any kind of integration with the Apple Watch. So I'm still using my Fitbit, because the Fitbit, you can sort of like kludge your way around that you can get it to, you know, interact with Weight Watchers. I would like for it to go ahead and do the thing with the Apple Watch. What I was really looking forward to was the fitness aspect of the Fitbit. Not that I'm fit by any stretch of the imagination, because, you know, look at me. I'm in Weight Watchers. But that part of it I really like. And the rest of it, I'm kind of, you know, seeing how it comes.
Well, so let me ask you this. Have you used the little, I don't know if it's called activity or fitness. I think it's called the little green man that looks like he's walking, where you log your workouts.
Yeah.
Have you been using the workout app?
I've been using the workout app. Yeah. But only because I want the little badges and buttons.
What do you think of those?
Well, I've only got the one so far because I'm not working out hard. The next one I will probably get is the one that you get for, you know, going 7 days in a row.
Right.
I'm all I'm doing is like outdoor walks. But I mean, I like quantifying that stuff. I mean, that's one thing that I will say. I do like that better than what, not to bash Fitbit by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the Fitbit is something that you put in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or actually sort of carry it like a beeper in your pocket, at least the one that I was using.
Yeah,
exactly. And so for that, it does a fantastic job. With the number of sensors in the Apple Watch, you would expect it to be a bit more accurate, and it is. You know, it gives you an idea of what your exact pace is and things like that. How do I like the workout app? I haven't tried anything difficult yet. I'm honestly probably going to try a different kind of workout later tonight. Partly because I don't know that I'm actually, it's raining here and I don't know I have the time to do the amount of walking that I normally like to do. So I'll check out the watch and see what else I can do, you know, here.
Right.
So, I mean, I like it in that respect, but I mean, it's not, it, I was going to do this joke on iChart Radio and I forgot to, of saying that the thing, well, I kind of did. I did a parody ad actually at the beginning of iChart Radio about how life-changing it is. The joke that I was originally going to do was the problem that I have with Apple Watch is I put it on and then I look in the mirror and I'm still exactly who I was. It's not the event horizon. This is not the coming of the technological singularity. This is not, you know, my whole life is not different because I have this thing. It is, however, beginning to work its way in the same way that the iPhone did, I think. In a way that the iPad, honestly, for me, never has. The iPad, I love my iPad for certain things. I like it for reading. I like it for Netflix. The iPad has not, I would not want to do without the iPad, but I could do without the iPad.
Right.
And of course, I mean, technically you can do without the iPhone as well. Technically you can do without all this stuff, but I mean, the iPhone is my touchstone device. It's my go-to device, but already, even as a guy who works from home, already I am not reaching into my pocket as much to pull out my iPhone, which is surprising.
Point.
I expected that to be, well, yeah, I mean, everybody said that was the point, but I expected that to be, you know, you always heard you're in a meeting and you don't want to pull out your phone, or, you know, you're in an elevator and you don't want to fish around for your phone. Well, I'm just sitting here half the time, but, you know, when it vibrates, I can just, I mean, that whole, it's crazy to say, but I mean, at least 4 days in, it feels like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of want to ask you the opposite question though, too. Is there anything that you thought, you know, you were going to use on the watch that you're finding, oh, well, that's not really all that useful, or I guess maybe anything that is just, disappointing, you know, not to get too negative, but you know what I mean? Like you thought, oh, it's going to be great for this, but, or anything that you're unhappy with in terms of the watch?
No, I mean, only because, again, I don't want to say that I didn't have high hopes for it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say if I didn't do what I do, right? If I didn't have iChart Magazine, if I didn't have Mac OS X, if I weren't doing the whole Apple News thing, I would be standing around outside going, well, it looks really great, but I don't know if I should. Or it looks really great, or I don't know if I can justify. Or, you know, it looks really great, but I'd rather spend the money on this.
Right.
Knowing that I had to have it for this, I then tried to come in not with any expectation except for the whole fitness angle of it. That's the one thing that I'm already using a piece of technology for. And so can it replace that? Yes. And then getting the notifications is fantastic. There wasn't anything else really. I mean, the rest of what I'm looking for it to do is sort of seep into my life.
Right.
I want to hear somebody say, have you tried this app for Apple Watch? I want to hear somebody say, oh, well, this is telling me this. That's the kind of thing I want to hear. And then once I get that, which is how I've discovered half the stuff that I honestly discovered on the Mac and half the stuff I've discovered on the iPhone, is hearing friends talk about, you know, how great this one particular thing is, or these two particular things are, you know, whatever the thing happens to be.
All right. I'll
so, I mean, if it never seeps into my life, I mean, come back to me in a year. If right. I'm still just doing fitness and checking the time and you know, getting my Twitter notifications, then I will have a disappointment answer. But 4 days in, I mean, it's far too early to make that call.
Yeah. And I would agree with you. I guess, and in some ways too, you also did mention one of those things though, which was the whole app discovery thing. So on mm-hmm. that front, since you're asking mm-hmm. app, on the fitness front, you might take a look at something I've been using for fitness tracking and doing workouts and stuff like that is the Carrot apps. I don't know if you're familiar with these. It's called Carrot Fit and Carrot, I'm going to get the names wrong, Calorie. They also did a To-Do app, but I'm using the fitness ones.
Yeah, and they've got the weather app as well.
Yeah, the weather one's awesome. But the calorie tracker is really great. It does not, I don't think it has an iPhone app associated with it, but the fitness one where you sort of track workouts and your weight and stuff like that does. And so you can actually pull up and start. They have a thing called 7 Minutes in Hell, which are these really great nerdy style workouts mm-hmm. that, so you do like the Mount Doom climbs, which is one of them, which is, you know, just basically, or what do they call, they have another name for push-ups. You know, they've just sort of rebranded and named your typical exercises, but you do a 7 minute workout where you are on for, I think it's a minute, I think, and then you take, and you can adjust the setting, you take a 10 minute break and then you go on to the next exercise. Hmm. You know, so you're doing stair steps and push-ups and sit-ups and crunches and things like that for 7 minutes. And that does have a nice little Apple Watch app that you can trigger that from, and you can follow along and see what your next exercise is supposed to be. So
okay.
There's one cool. for you to play around with.
Excellent.
And it does it in a fun, tongue-in-cheek way. You have to be willing, though, because Carrot is very abusive to you.
I've like, heard that.
When you don't do what you're supposed to do, or when you do your weigh-in and you don't achieve. So if you do your weigh-in and you go up, you get mm-hmm. a punishment. Of course, there's a 99-cent in-app purchase if you want to get forgiveness and get bypassed on the punishment. So you can buy your way out of punishment, which I think is really clever. But then the punishment is you get shown an ad. So it is a paid-for app.
Yeah.
But you get punished by being shown ads. So your motivation is to do well so you don't have to get ads.
That's an interesting monetization question. Is the ad an actual ad, or is it like one of those, like, you don't know Jack kind of ads?
No, it's a real ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, right, I have this horrible habit of usually around November, I think to myself, I'm going to start running.
Yep.
And so in November, I downloaded something called Couch to 5K.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. And then of course it's November in Buffalo. So guess how much running I actually did, right? I mean, yeah. We got our first snow, I want to say in the second week of November. It was the week before Thanksgiving was when, you know, just south of here got 7 feet of snow. And we got quite a bit of snow too. And basically we didn't have, it was only 2 weeks ago, the last little bit of snow finally disappeared from everybody's yards in Buffalo. So now I need to start running. But even that, you see, that's the Carrot thing kind of scares me because the Couch to 5K has these four different personalities you can go with. One is a zombie, and I'm over the zombie thing. So like, you're being chased by a zombie, run faster.
Right.
One's a drill sergeant. One is basically Jillian Michaels without being Jillian Michaels. And one is this really nice, you know, sort of peppy, but supportive lady. Yeah, she's the voice I'm going with. So I will give Carrot Fit a try, but I don't handle abuse well.
It's got, you might like it because it's got a lot of nerd references and it's done very, you know, tongue in cheek. My kids call her Evil Siri. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I like that.
Because it uses the Siri voice. So it's kind of hilarious. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for coming on and talking a little bit about your first impressions of Apple Watch. I know it's early and we'll have a lot more sort of opinions later, but thanks for at least covering what you've got so far. So you want to tell people a little bit about what you're up to? I want you to tell them too about your, because you had me on iChart radio. Thank you very much to kind of give my, that was like day one.
Yeah.
Order
you,
date.
You gave me 4 days, which I appreciate. I gave you 6 hours, I think.
So I want to tell people about your epic unboxing, too.
So. Oh, yeah. So I have always thought when I get a new Apple thing that I'm going to do the whole unboxing deal. Never the video because, you know, that requires setup and
stuff.
Not a video guy, but I, you know, I've got the greatest camera in the world, right? Which is the iPhone 6 or actually whichever camera you happen to have on you. And so I got the Apple Watch, and here's this like brand new, nobody's ever had anything like this thing before ever. You would think this would be the one that I would tear into like Charlie looking for the golden ticket.
Right.
And yet I got it, and it was probably an hour before I actually had it on my wrist because I very methodically opened it and, you know, took this out and I got it a ruler and I measured the box and I measured the other dimension of the box and then I actually weighed the thing. I got it wrong, by the way, when you and I were talking. It's 2 pounds, 2 pounds, 4¾ ounces. I told you 1 pound, 4¾ ounces. So my apologies to you. But yeah, so I took all these pictures and now in the Monday edition of iChart magazine, there is a six page spread, I think, of the different pictures that I took. Not terribly, I mean, there are no descriptions, honestly, just, you know, here's everything or almost everything. I think there was one picture that I just couldn't make fit without going an additional page. But yeah. And actually, this weekend as well, the new Apple store opened in Miami. And I'm nowhere near there, but luckily I had a couple of listeners who were, so they sent me pictures of the new Apple store in Miami as well. Really just, I mean, it looks like a gorgeous place, and Richard Gunther in particular sent me just some really gorgeous pictures, lots of different pictures from lots of different angles. So that's in there too. And then all the new Apple ads, and then I think the Consumer Reports test of the Apple Watch, and then that Phone Fox thing where those guys went swimming with their Apple Watch. Yeah, so just tons of stuff to check out, and there's a 1 week free trial. It's available in the iOS newsstand.
Great.
EYE, iChart magazine. And thank you for letting me plug it.
Yeah, check that out and try it out. And of course, your podcast?
My podcast, well, there are two right now.
Right.
Or, well, actually, there are five, but there are two that people should know about. macOS Ken is a daily Apple News podcast. Been Apple Watch solid for like a month. That's finally going to break tomorrow, I think, when we do the earnings report, followed, of course, by more Apple Watch stuff. And then I also do a podcast that's based around iChart magazine called iChart Radio, which Adam was on this past weekend. And normally it is Michael LaPlante, formerly of the Easy Mac podcast, and I talking over all sorts of Apple News stuff. So EYE, iChart Radio, also available on iTunes.
Awesome. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
Hey, Allison, thanks for coming on the MacCast.
Hey, you know, I just really hate to be on podcasts, you know, I hate to talk.
True.
I'm kind of shy, retiring, you know, I don't like that at all. I especially don't like to talk about new gadgets when I get them.
Well, yeah, especially this one, right?
It's the worst, right?
No, so what I'm doing is I'm getting a bunch of my friends and people I know on who were lucky enough to actually get the Apple Watch. I guess that's a big thing. I feel bad a little bit when my friends say they don't have theirs yet.
I do, since there's someone in my house who doesn't. I have to give a big plug to Steve. He stayed home all day waiting for my watch for me while I went off to a school to talk STEM to some kids. And his watch isn't coming until the second wave.
Well, those are both noble pursuits, so.
Yeah, yeah. If it had been like, you know, going to the movies, I don't think he would have done it.
He would have stayed. Has he ripped yours off your wrist yet and...
No,
made you let him play with it?
He did play with it a little bit, but not too much. I think he wants the full discovery on his own.
Right. So what I'm trying to do is we've now had a few days, you know, not a ton of time, but I want to get, you know, just people's first impressions. So I shared mine. We're talking to a couple other folks. So what do you think? I mean, now that you actually have the thing.
Yeah, so I got it Friday night, so I've had all day Saturday, Sunday, and half of, is today still Monday? No, today's Tuesday. All of Monday and part of Tuesday to play with it. The utility of it for me is already really, really high. I do a lot of exercise, so I'm kind of fanatical about that. People who know me are real tired of hearing about my step count and that kind of thing, but one of the things that it helps me a lot with is I walk my dog in the afternoon. So I put on, take my iPhone and I lock it. And I put it in my spy belt, which is like a little, excuse me to the Brits, a fanny pack. And it's got a, I've got wired headphones because for some reason, Bluetooth just doesn't work for me. If the phone is touching my body, if I hold it out in space, it's okay. But if it touches my body, it doesn't work.
What, so I got you're, wired you're a natural Faraday cage?
Yeah, evidently, okay. Evidently. The nice part is when it cuts out, I actually miss stuff. It's not like it stops and starts. I'm actually missing stuff. So that's nice. So anyway, so I got wired headphones. It's got a nice long cord. So I got to wrap the cable back and forth up into my little pocket thing. I zip it shut and I put on my headphones. I start walking and I get a notification. And, you know, I ignore most of them, but sometimes I'm just in the mood to see what's going on. So I unzip and unwrap all the thing, unlock the phone with my thumb like an animal, right, as Renee would say. And then I take it out, look at it, and I don't need to answer that one. I'm walking with my dog and I get a notification. I lift up my wrist and not only do I get the notification that I wanted to see, I can respond without ever taking it out because the dictation in it is amazing. And I thought it was just my imagination because sometimes you just wish these things to be true. But I've heard a bunch of other people saying this is that I don't know if it's the mic is better than on the phone, but my dictation is almost flawless on this thing.
Apparently Apple's made some tweak to the algorithm. It sounds like I got to get over to iMore and look, but I was just on MacBook Weekly with Renee and he was mentioning that there's something going on under the hood too. So the watch dictation or Siri seems to be a little bit better than even what's on the phone. So hopefully whatever they've done makes its way back into the other
back
device.
To the phone.
Yeah.
Remember back to the Mac. Now this will be back to the phone. Get the capability back up. So that's a huge piece to me. And it's not just a party trick. Now the party trick side is using the phone to talk or the watch to talk on the phone in general. I mean, I did it. Chris Ashley of the SMR podcast said that he would give a shin kick to the first person he saw talking on the phone in his watch. And so the first person I called was Chris Ashley.
Sure.
You just got to know your friends. And he's a hardcore Windows guy, and he begrudgingly had to admit that it sounded really good on his end. So that was cool. We started to get to some breakup, but I was in a part of the house that I know is really bad for Wi-Fi, so I don't know if that affected it or not. But I did have an example of where using the watch as a phone was really cool. I got into the car with Steve, and he was driving, and we wanted to call our friend Dorothy. And I thought, well, let's see what happens. I lifted up my watch, and I said, call Dorothy. And it initiated the call, but it was connected to my phone, of course. And my phone was connected over Bluetooth to the car, so the call came over the car.
Sure.
Which is exactly what I wanted to have happen.
Yeah, that's and I didn't have to handoff stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And it worked just like I thought it might, and I just tried it and it worked. So that was a case where I didn't have to pull my phone out of my purse, press the button, you know, get my thumb on it, and then, or, you know, try to get Siri to talk to me and then have her tell me she has to unlock the phone and all that kind of nonsense. So that was really cool. I've been intrigued by I'm going to look something up while I tell you this. I run, and my beach run is incredibly boring. It's a straight line, right? So I get down to the ocean, and I turn right, and I go in a straight line. Sure. And when it calculated my distance on the way out, I've measured my distance with a Fitbit and with a Google Maps to know that if I go to the Teal House, for example, that's 2 miles. Okay. So I get up to the Teal House and it didn't say 2 miles. It said 1.9 miles. And I thought, well, you know, what's the big deal? That's probably more correct because it's using the GPS on the phone. So I went a little bit farther. And so I went until it said that it was at 2 miles. And when I came back, it said I was now at 3.9. So I'd lost a tenth of a mile running in a straight line. So it was off by a tenth of a mile, definitely. I mean, it was arguing with itself. So I was kind of curious about that. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. But Donald Burr wrote a comment on my blog post about this. And he said that there are different default values for how the location accuracy is calculated in core location. And he said the most accurate is called KCL, location accuracy best for navigation, which, as its name implies, is best used when using when doing GPS navigation. So when you're doing GPS navigation and you're driving a car, you really want to be as exact as you possibly can. But they recommend that only if the phone is plugged into a power source, because that's going to drain it really quickly. So the next lowest level is KCL, location accuracy best, which is kind of like it's going to do the best to balance accuracy and power consumption. So there's these different levels, and they might just not have put something in that was so accurate that it would burn the battery out on your phone and your watch.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm not as worried about the distance accuracy as I was. I was hoping that was going to be, you know, spot on and give me exact details, but now I won't worry about it. But I do like that there's two different ways you use the watch for exercise. So there's the workout app, which allows you to identify an indoor run versus an outdoor run. So I would assume on an indoor run, it's not even going to talk to the GPS, because why burn up battery when you're not moving anywhere?
Sure.
You've got indoor-outdoor cycle. You've got it's got a stepper and a Stairmaster, or an elliptical, which are really two different movements. So that's cool. It's got rowing. It doesn't have weightlifting, which I know a lot of people are looking for. So you set goals within those of how far you want to go, or how long you want to go, or how many calories you want to burn. So you can identify those, and then when you achieve those goals, you get little badges, and everybody loves little badges. For some reason, those little pixels just make our little hearts sing when we get them. But separate from that is the activity app, and that's more just kind of a general health thing. You get three concentric circles that are filling in bands in three different colors. One of them is for your exercise, and it's counting anything at or above a brisk walk. And like you and I were talking about before we started here, I was outside digging in the yard, and it gave me exercise credit for that. So apparently the fact that sweat was pouring off my face, I really was getting some real exercise. Yeah. Then there's Move. Now, I like Move because you still get credit if you walk downstairs to go get Cheetos from the kitchen. Right?
I don't know how good that is.
Well, no, but it's different. It's not exercise, but right. It's also not, you know, it's not it's nothing. Not, right, I did walk, not. You know, I walked up a flight of stairs when I had those Cheetos, right? And then the third thing is Stand. And I think that's going to be really important for geeks. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can get lost on my computer and not stand up for hours at a time.
It's already helped me quite a bit.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how fast an hour goes by that you haven't moved?
Yeah.
The other time I was surprised was on the couch. It pinged me and told me to stand up. I was like, oh, yay, it reminded me. And I happened to tweet somebody right then. And then like 10 minutes later, it taps me again. I'm like, hey, come on. And I look at my tweet and it had been an hour. And I would have sworn to you, 15 tops I'd been sitting still. So I think I'm not standing as much as I'm great on the exercise. I exercise about an hour and a half a day, 140 minutes a day. So that's not my problem, but I apparently don't stand up at all. And I figure if I don't, most people don't at all.
All right. So since you're on the exercise thing, and that seems to be something you're very excited about on this, I want to ask, were you using something before Watch?
Yeah, I'm a big old Fitbit fan. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I'm still wearing my Fitbit because I have all these friends I like to taunt.
Right.
You know, or taunt me. You know, Sean Carruthers up in Canada, the reason we are still friends after like a decade is because we just torture each other on Fitbit. So I don't want to lose the social aspect. So I'm looking for maybe another service, since Fitbit isn't going to, they don't want to play nice with the Apple Watch. So
with the watch or with health?
Well, technically you can connect it to health, but I can't get any of the stats to come in. And I think the health app, the way it does the metrics, is just terrible anyway. It's just, it's terrible. I don't like it. So what I'd like to see is whether I can get into like maybe a MyFitnessPal or one of the other running apps and have what I'm doing with the watch connect into there so I can still, you know, give these people a hard time.
Right. So you're using both for right now.
Yeah, I'm still wearing it because I don't want to lose my little friends. My friend Tyson, I mean, I think it's Tyson is the one, he's a mail of carrier.
Right.
You know, he gets like 30,000 steps a day.
It can be hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, I can tell when he's sick. It's, you know, it's two, so that's fun. But I also, let me talk a little bit of downside is right. I'm still confused often. Like I know I can open the activity app and it'll show me these three concentric circles we just talked about. And then I can swipe up and I'm in one, I can then swipe right to left. So I've taken an app and it slid up and now it's got right to left little dots. So I know I can go back and forth. I don't know how to get back. I just hit the home button because I can't figure out how to get back up to the, like I want to see the three concentric circles again. Don't know how to get there. Can't crack the code on it. Sometimes it happens, but I don't know how I'm doing it.
Oh, you swipe back. So when you're looking at the rings, there should be like four screens and you need to swipe all the way back to the first screen.
And that's the same as the one that was up above it before.
Right.
See, that doesn't really jump out at you, right?
Is, no, it doesn't.
It was
no,
above,
I mean,
but now it's to the left.
Yeah, exactly. It's to the left.
Yeah. So I get a little tangled there. And to be honest, I don't really understand adding apps yet, because there isn't... There's watch apps, right? I know Tim Cook keeps telling me there's apps. There's like 3,500 of them out there now, but I don't really know where they are, because I got to find an app for the iPhone that then has the app for the watch, right?
Right. Yep.
And I don't know how to find those. I don't know where to go look.
Well, I mean, the easiest way is from, I believe, the watch app, right? That's on your iPhone.
Yeah, I believe you.
You go into the featured area. Mm-hmm. There's also a search. Ken Ray brought this up as well, that, you know, there's supposedly all these apps, and sort of finding them is difficult. I think it's the typical app store problem. But the easiest way right now, I'm not saying it's the best way, the easiest way is in the watch app and then clicking on the featured search.
Well, if I go to search and I search for an app that doesn't have a watch app, it still finds it. So
oh, I
don't
tried
think
that.
It, I don't, well, I could be wrong, but that's what I thought happened. So that's why I got kind of confused. I did load the Keynote app, and I cannot figure out how to get it to talk to my Keynote presentation. So I haven't figured that out yet.
I can't get the remote app to work. I've paired it to my Apple TV. It says it's paired, but every time I bring up the remote, it just says, okay, so that's not just me.
Yeah, it says swipe.
Oh, I don't even have swipe. I have just add. It keeps wanting me to add Apple TV remotes.
Oh, well, I can click on one of the Apple TVs, and then it'll say swipe up, down, right, left, and I do, and nothing happens on the TV.
So there's some bugs. I think there's some bugs.
That hasn't worked. And I know you were talking on Twitter a couple of days ago about battery life. So I my first day I did it was okay. I got it at 75%, so I played with it like crazy, and then I charged it while I was eating dinner, and it went from about 10% to 75% or 65% in about a half hour.
Yeah,
so
it's
that was
super
really
fast charging.
Fast.
Yeah, it's zero. Right, that was, zero. I think an hour and a half to do a full charge from zero.
I think 80% is what they said for an hour and a half. But anyway, it's fast.
Yeah.
It's really fast. So that was cool. So the next day, when I took it off the charger in the morning, it only said 65%. It had been on all night. So I didn't know whether I'd screwed something up. The next night, Saturday night, I charged it, or Sunday night, I charged it all night, and it was at 100% when I got up. So I must have just bumped it the other time. So we'll put that aside as maybe something went wrong.
Right.
I played with it like crazy all day, and I made 16 hours. I burned it all the way down to 1% because I knew I'd be talking to you. I just wanted to see how long it would go.
Yeah.
And at 10:30 last night, from like 7 in the morning, it was down to 1%. So
yeah.
I'm not getting 18 hours. But I figure that's going to roll off, right? I'm not going to be playing with it like I am right now.
Yeah. And in my case, I had one day where I had used it for a workout in the morning, and I had been using it what I thought was kind of moderate usage. I was trying not to be obsessive about it. It was the second day that I had it.
So I
was deliberately trying not to be obsessive about it because I wanted to try and get a better sense of battery life. And I, you know, by about 4 o'clock, I was at 28%, something like that, 30%. And so I started getting really worried. But I did have some odd things happen that day. Like after my workout, when I took it off, the two green heart rate sensors didn't turn off.
Oh.
And I kind of let them sit there because I was going to the shower.
So you look at the backside of the watch.
Because I took it off because I was going to go take a shower at the gym after the workout, and the lights were on. So I don't know if it kind of got stuck, and that sort of drained a lot of more of the battery during the workout than it should have. And the other thing is, I think also a culprit, and I turned it off, was Voxer. Everybody was doing Voxers, and I was getting like a million Voxer notifications that day. So
yeah, that Voxer group we're in is a little bit chatty there, chatty, especially right now.
I turned that off, and then the next day it was fine. I was at 75% by well into the afternoon.
Oh, okay,
and,
okay.
You know, maybe
well,
about 30%.
I think we're so used to, I don't know, you're younger than I am, but cars usually, when you get down to a quarter tank, you better be looking for a gas station, because that means you're actually almost out of gas in the old days.
Right.
And I think we get into this thing, when you saw 28%, you said, man, I've only got like an hour or two left. Well, I was down to 28%, and then I got down to 10% at about 7 o'clock. But then I was sitting around watching TV and just checking things occasionally, getting a few messages coming in,
right.
And it lasted all the way until I went to bed.
Yeah,
I thought it was almost going to go out early.
Yeah, so that's what happened to me too, because then I was recording later that night with Ken, and I think about 10 o'clock it went into power reserve mode. So,
okay, does it do that when you hit zero?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying that close of attention. I just know that once it's in power reserve mode, you just get the time, and you only get the time if you press the button. So,
okay,
yeah.
One of my other interests is accessibility, and I have just started to play with the accessibility stuff a little bit, but I have a funny anecdote that you'll enjoy. It has voiceover, so you can turn on voiceover and the watch will talk to you, and it works okay. Like I said, I've just started to play with that, haven't done too much, but I was demonstrating it during my live show because there were three blind people in my audience at the time, and so I'm trying to hold my watch up to the microphone so people can hear it, and so I can't really see what I'm doing, and I bumped the screen curtain button.
Oh, no.
The screen curtain button turns the screen black.
Right.
How do you turn it back on?
I don't know.
Neither do I. And they were just cracking up because I couldn't figure out what to do. But luckily, Jeff Bishop and I think Dan Ackmeyer later chimed in and said, get out your phone and turn off voiceover. And that turns it back on. But that's, you know, I mean, if you're blind, you wouldn't really care if screen curtain went on. But no. In my case, so now I had screen curtain on and it was still talking. So it was going to mess up the show. the Zoom function is something I use a lot on my iPhone, where you can double tap with three fingers. And if you're as ancient as I am, your vision's going. Even though I wear contacts and glasses at the same time, there's still times I can't read. And so a double tap gives you a little Zoom window. It's really, really handy. Well, I turned it on the phone, and so did my friend Pat Dengler on hers, on our watches, I mean. And in both cases, we would just lift our wrist up at some time, and the Zoom would have enabled itself on the watch face. So I think that's buggy. I don't think that's working
very well yet.
So. No, it wouldn't make any sense. You're supposed to tap it to do it. It shouldn't happen on its own.
And then can you use the digital crown to control the Zoom level, or is it just sort of on or off?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
We'll leave that as an
accessibility,
exercise.
Yeah, accessibility is really excellent on the watch, though, I think, compared to some of the other smartwatches that are out there. So.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it is or not.
Well,
but
it's interesting. It's interesting to me. You mentioned VoiceOver gives you the voice commands, but yet Siri has no voice on the watch, which is a little...
Yeah, isn't that
off-putting
strange?
At first.
Yeah, I really thought Siri would read my messages to me, but I guess I don't want it to all the time.
No, I think it's a battery. I think it's a battery choice probably. Uh-huh. But it's just weird the first time you use it. Like, why isn't Siri talking to me? Why? This is a one-way conversation.
Oh, yeah, by the way, here's something I really like. The Zoom. I'm looking at the Zoom menu right now, and in about 0.8 size font. Where I have to really focus hard, it tells me how to enable Zoom. Well, if I need Zoom, honey, I need those letters a little bit bigger. You know? So let's see.
There's some tweaking.
Double tap two fingers. There you go. So now I wanted to check. Oh, no. So now I remember. The crown does not change the Zoom level. It changes where within the Zoom window you are. So it goes upper right to upper left, and then it scrolls to the second row, third row, fourth row kind of thing.
Okay,
does that make any sense?
Yeah. So you can kind of navigate around without having to cover up the screen.
Yeah, usually the way Zoom works, and it does work with this, you double tap with two fingers, and while you're still holding it, slide up, and it zooms it more or less.
Right. Well, the watch screen's a little small for getting multiple fingers on the screen, I think.
Yeah. Let me turn that off so it stops messing with me. But I have to say, I'm digging it a whole bunch. I'm liking it. Yeah, I like the taptic feedback. I like getting the notifications, like talking on the phone.
Is this your first smartwatch, though?
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. So I'm not comparing to anything.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have to wonder how much of that is. You know, I had a Pebble, and this is, I think, a lot better. But I also enjoyed my Pebble, too. Like, the notification stuff is pretty much similar. You know, it's somewhat the same. Pebble, you couldn't interact, so that's a big leap forward.
That's
you know,
a
with
huge
the Apple Watch,
yeah.
You know. To like actually be able to respond. Well, you can, and depending upon the app, you can't respond to anything. So,
well, that's what irritates me. Some of them you can't respond to. Yeah. I figured out how to respond in Twitterific, but for the life of me, I can't get Twitter's main app to let me respond. I know I talked to Tom Merritt and he said he can.
Right.
I can't. There's no reply button. I can't
Force touch is a power tip for people too. If you're ever in an interface and you can't figure out how to find something,
try
a force. Well, in different apps, it just means, you know, it's like right clicking is the best analogy I could give you. But it sometimes will
expose. Like holding down the option key?
Yeah, it will sometimes expose extra menus that you don't realize are there. It's like the little hidden menu. So I've started to, when I get stuck, force touch, and occasionally something will come up. So
I've wanted to be able to use activity app. One of the things you can do is change what your goals are in the activity app. So I always blow through the exercising because it only wants you to do a half hour a day, and you know, I can do that in a coma. And so I want to turn that one up, but my only choice is to change the number of calories I burn in a day. Hmm. And I think that'll affect all the metrics. Well, I don't want to stand more. You already make me stand 12 times a day, for crying out loud. I don't want more of that. I want to exercise more.
All right. So last thing I want to ask you is, was there anything, I'm curious, is there anything on the watch, because we knew about it before it was coming out. We read about the features and stuff like that. Is anything on there that you were surprised that you didn't think was going to be useful or you were going to use that you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of neat?
Can I put it this way, that the thing that surprised me the most is how natural it feels on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, I don't notice I have it on. And I've always worn a sport watch since I retired anyway. I wear a sport watch all the time that I run with and that sort of thing. And so it's a big clunky watch. And even with my tiny little delicate girl gold watch and my silver watch that I used to wear to work, as soon as I sat down at my laptop on my desk or in my lap, I would take it off because it bugged me. This doesn't bug me. And I don't know if it's because it's adding value while it's there or why it's not bothering me, but I don't find myself wanting to take it off at all. And I used to always take my watch off when I sat at my, I'd be wandering around going, where'd I put my watch? I can't find my watch. It's either down by the couch where I sit or it's up by my computer.
That's really interesting. I noticed immediately how comfortable it was too, like compared to my Pebble. And I think some of it is, and I've mentioned this on a few shows, I maybe even mentioned it earlier, and you know, when talking to someone else, the fluoroelastomer band. I made fun of the name of that thing, but whatever material that is, it's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Horse D. Jew said he went out and changed the wheels on his car, and it didn't mess up his fluoroelastomer band. So I don't know if he had the white one, but yeah, I'm really curious to see whether the white's going to start looking nasty and grimy, but so far...
Oh, is that what you have? You have the white one?
Yeah. I was just listening to you talk on Let's Talk Apple from last month, right after the announcements, talking about Renee Ritchie documenting the weights of the bands, that the white band is the heaviest. That's hilarious.
Yeah, the best theory I heard was that in order to get it that pure white, they've got to add in more pigment, which is probably correct.
That does make sense, because they had all that trouble with the MacBooks turning yellow and the white iPhones. They rejected a lot of them early on, right?
Yeah.
But well, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think we're onto something. But I'm really most looking forward to when the developers tell us what this is, because you know we thought the iPhone was a phone.
Right.
We think this is a watch. Well, yeah. Why don't you guys tell us what it is?
Apps are going to change a lot of things. Well, cool. Thanks, Allison. I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. You want to tell people what you're up to, where they can find you, and how they can check out the stuff that you do?
Yeah, my website is podfeet.com, and my podcast is called the NoCellaCast Podcast, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. In other words, a giant Macintosh bias. And if you want to yak with me on Twitter, I'm also podfeet.
Cool. Oh, and now you brought up the other question I want to. Do you have podfeet? Why podfeet?
Yes, my husband says I have feet like pods. Now, if I'd been really smart, I would have also bought Pod Feed when I did it, because that's what people think I'm saying. So I usually say podfeet.com, like those things on the end of your legs, which is a terrible... We talked earlier, my branding is terrible.
All right, thanks. Mr. Sparks, how do you do, sir?
Hi, Adam. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing good. So I am getting a bunch of friends, people I know together who have received their Apple Watches, who have had them for a little bit, and asking one simple question. What do you think?
I dig it.
Yeah?
I dig it differently than I have the other iOS, you know, new product lines. In fact, I was just thinking this afternoon when I was thinking about this call was, I don't know if you recall or not, but the day the iPad came out, I did a guest spot on one of your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like giddy with excitement about the iPad. I mean, we were giddy. I think go back, that's the right way to explain it.
And, yeah, that's one of those products.
And the Apple Watch is not like that. It doesn't make you giddy, but it very quickly becomes really useful. I mean, I had a couple of meetings in my day job earlier today, and you know, the tap came in a couple times. It was stuff that, you know, I wanted to keep track of. Nobody in the room knew it. at a convenient time. I checked my watch and found out what it was about. I mean, it's just very quickly, it seems like it has fit its way into my life. So apparently I had a Apple Watch size hole in my heart.
It's interesting that you put it that way. I think you're the first person that, well, you might be the second person to kind of bring that up. And until a couple people said that, I really hadn't thought about it that way. And I guess because I had the Pebble, and I think you had a Pebble also, right?
Yeah, I used a Pebble every day for quite a while.
So I don't know if maybe it was because, you know, I've had the Pebble, so I've kind of had the notifications on the wrist thing. But, you know, after someone said that, I thought, you know what, that really is kind of true. The Pebble was not really good, I think, until the software kind of got updated. It was almost like version 2. But then, you know, once those notifications got pretty good, then it kind of worked its way into my life. Whereas the Apple Watch, like you're saying, very quickly. And I guess maybe I thought maybe some of that was because I was already kind of used to it with the Pebble. But again, everything sort of being richer in terms of the experience, like being able to interact with a lot of the notifications and stuff like that, it adds a lot more to that utility, I think.
Yeah. And just even simple things like I had a sandwich today and wanted to watch Game of Thrones. And as usual, the kids had put the Apple TV remote somewhere, mm-hmm. but I don't know where. So I just I paired my watch very quickly to my Apple TV and turned the TV on. I mean, I turned the Apple TV, navigated, started my show with my watch. And when I was done with my sandwich, I hit pause and went back to work. It's just it's really, you know, it's just one of those things that becomes very easy to adopt into your life.
And I think that's probably what they're. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I don't know what I'm doing wrong with my remote thing because I can't get the remote to work. I added my Apple TV. My Apple TV shows that my Apple Watch is registered with my Apple TV. Hmm. But every time now as I say it, I just opened up the remote app. Every time I was opening up the remote app, I didn't see my Apple TV. Now it's there. So I don't know.
Something.
I've had weird bugs like that. I mean, this is not a negative at all, and some people might hear it as a negative, but, you know, I think it is a little bit buggy. I've experienced a few little bugs. They're quirky bugs. They're not showstopper bugs. I want to be very clear about that. But, you know, I've had little hiccups in the interface where it will slow down and pause for a while. I've had, you know, so it very much feels sometimes in the software like a very, very good 1.0 product. I want to say that very good part twice because it is amazing how much it does, how well it works. I mean, a lot of this stuff was really thought out. But for those people who are thinking, you know, is this, it still does have those hints of this is a 1.0 product. It's going to get better. Things are going to improve. There are a little things, you know, you have to recognize you're getting one. You're an early adopter.
Yeah, I agree. The bugs really have not been, you know, just sitting here, I can't really think of any big problems I've had. But before we started recording, you said you had some Siri hangups. And now that I think about it, I've had a couple of those, but I've used Siri a lot with this thing. And when you think about all of the, all the things that have to happen for you to talk to your watch and the information to get to your phone and then from there to the internet and then the internet to process it and get it back, I can understand why there's still a few hangups with some of this stuff. But overall, I've been really pleased with it. And like I was a big Pebble user, but this just brings so much more functionality over the Pebble. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a big OmniFocus user, and I like being able to check what tasks I have left just looking at my wrist. I think that's kind of awesome.
Oh, I don't know if I – now come to think of it, I don't know if I put the OmniFocus app on here. But I'm laughing a little bit because somehow when I was just talking to you earlier on that long diatribe, Siri activated, and she pretty much translated everything that I said. Big long sentence.
Somebody at Apple's listening.
She just said, "Who, me?"
It's I don't know. The difference with the Pebble to me was, you know, the Pebble had very limited ability to interact with the data on the phone, and that wasn't really Pebble's fault. I mean, and I don't think Apple wants to devote a bunch of resources to making sure the Pebble works great. And so I get it, but the improvements with the Apple Watch, and not to mention, it's just the hardware design is so much better. I had the original Kickstarter edition of the Pebble Watch. And I know that they've evolved it a little bit, but I mean, when you compare these two devices, there's just really no comparison with the hardware and frankly, the software or the screen and all that other stuff. Does it bother you, the little delay sometimes before you get the time on your wrist, you know, when you lift up your wrist and it doesn't sync or doesn't detect it.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that on MacBreak Weekly a little bit today, and I've thought about just disabling that feature because I also notice I get some false positives. So like when I was having that battery issue, I was half wondering, you know, I was driving around a lot that day, and when I'm driving, I see it come on, you know, just as I'm turning the wheel or I'm shifting my hand on the steering wheel or something like that. And a couple of people have mentioned, you know, I just turned it off to get better battery life because really you can just tap the screen and it comes right up. So I'm wondering if that almost isn't just better to kind of relearn that muscle memory. And that's what Andy Inoko commented on. It's like, you know, you just kind of learn that muscle memory and then it's just becomes the thing. So as you're lifting your watch up or to check the time, you just, you know, lightly tap the screen and it comes right on. So
yeah, that doesn't make, I wouldn't do that because number one, the battery life has been great for me. I mean, we're recording this at 2:38 in the afternoon and I've got 75% battery. Right. So I'm going to be, you know, I just haven't had any issues with it. And to me, it is a big deal to be able to check it one handed. Like quite often I may have something in my other hand, like a briefcase or something, and sure, I want to get a notification. So I wouldn't do that, but and it doesn't bother me that much. Occasionally, I'll lift my wrist and it doesn't fire off. And I wish it would be. I wish it was the dial was turned a little bit more towards, you know, turn it on even if. Then it is
a little battery.
Yeah, exactly. But I understand battery life is key. I mean, if this thing didn't have good battery life, all of us would be screaming. I would be returning it if it, you know, if it was 2 o'clock and the battery was dying, it would be useless to me. So yeah, I understand why they made those decisions, but. So when that happens, I just kind of flick my wrist and then it comes in. And, you know, I'm not into, that's one bit of it I'm not excited about. And another thing I don't really like about the watch, and I just frankly don't understand, is the 3D hands and emoji and the happy faces. I just don't even know how that shipped on an Apple product, to be honest with you.
You know, it's part, I think that's part of the whole, I'm not sure about the utility of digital, the whole digital touch thing. The drawing and the heartbeat thing, I think, are a little bit more useful. They're very personal. There's only going to be a few people that you're going to use those features with. And I get those. Yeah, the emoji, I think it was just another sort of whiz-bang thing that they could add that gives good demo. I think, you know, there's those things that you put in stuff that's like, this is the good demo. It's, you know, it's like the photo booth app on the Mac, right? People love to play around with that and show that off as like, hey, look, you can do this thing. But I don't think, I mean, most people don't open that on a daily basis and interact with it or even a weekly basis.
Well, I would agree that like the touch and the heartbeat, I think those are fine. And even the drawing, even though it's kind of silly with such a little screen, but I get all that stuff. But those emoji just rub me wrong. I mean, they look creepy. They, you know, it's like they're very large. So if you send it to someone on an iPhone, that kind of like screams, here's something from my iWatch or my Apple Watch. So, you know, aren't I special? I don't know. I just feel like they, and why are they 3D? You know, I mean, in Apple where everything is going to a flatter interface and they've got these crazy like 1990s Yahoo stuff. I don't understand it. But That's being hypercritical. There you go. I mean, overall, the watch is great, and I'm really glad I bought the Generation 1. I bought the aluminum, the black aluminum one, or I'm sorry, the space gray aluminum one.
Yeah,
and looks great on me. I got the 42mm. Mine didn't show up, even though I ordered it within minutes of them launching. There was apparently a run on space gray aluminum, so. Yeah. Mine, you know, they started delivering on Friday. Mine didn't show up until Monday, but, my wife's showed up on Friday. She has the 38mm blue aluminum.
It's the same one I have.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was nice enough to let me wear it for a few days to kind of figure it out. She wasn't as interested as I was.
Okay. Naturally, then I want to ask you, so you've now worn the 38mm sport and the 42mm. What do you think of the size? Does it matter? Does size matter, Dave?
Man, every time I get on your show, I just get in trouble. But for me, it does. I think the 42 looks better on me. It's easier to read. It's easier to tap. I'm happy with my 42mm decision. I'm not a super big guy, but my wrist is large enough that it fits nicely on me. And the the 38, which is funny because traditionally the watches I wore before I used the Pebble were all pretty. I used to wear a Timex, and I never got into those really big men's watches that seem to be kind of fashionable right now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, but this is a little bit more. It's a user interface issue, and like even just tapping in the security code on my wife's 38 millimeter, I had to be very deliberate. And
yeah, with, I can see
with
that.
The 42, it's easier. I don't have to make, you know, the text is easier to read on the screen. I just like the bigger one better, but it's, you know, just up to, you know, the person wearing it. My daughter has a very tiny wrist and she likes the 38 and it fits fine. My wife likes her 38. So I guess it just depends on the size of your wrist. But
yeah, well,
all that being said, if you can get away with a larger one, I like the bigger screen.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt when I did my try on. You know, I ended up with the 38 because it might get passed down to my wife, and that was more the size that seemed to appeal to her. And I was real worried about it with my big 50 millimeter Pebble. But after sort of swapping it out and only wearing the 38, I don't know that I really notice it all that much, but I totally take your points because that's what I felt like at the try. And it doesn't seem like it's that big of a difference, but the touch points being just a little bit larger, I think would be nice.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it's just overall, though, I mean, it's not too heavy. I mean, the aluminum one, when I tried on the steel one at the store, I couldn't tell a difference. I know it's slightly heavier, but I mean, it feels like a watch on your wrist. It doesn't feel overly heavy or like you're carrying a big brick on your wrist or anything. It just gets out of your way. I mean, what I found, it's funny because the first day I almost ran the battery down, and the first day I spent the whole day playing with it and changing the type, you know, the watch faces and fiddling with all the settings and all that. But by the second day, I kind of had all that stuff figured out, and I just went back to work with this watch on my wrist, and suddenly the battery's got tons of life at the end of the day. And I really think that's the use case that they anticipate for people. It's not something you're going to be looking at as often as we look at our phones, but it's going to be very useful. It's a really great accessory for the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. So are you finding, you know, the whole not having to take, so you're really finding not having to take your phone out as much and stuff like that to be a lot of the utility? Because it's feeling that way to me too.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, just responding to text messages easily off my phone, controlling my Apple TV, checking, you know, how many flagged items I have left in OmniFocus for the day. Oh, you know, the ability to see my next appointment, to me, that's huge. I'm always, I schedule myself crazy. You know, it's just one of my things. It's like I've got 2 hours scheduled this afternoon to write a contract. It's something I'm going to be doing on my computer, but if I don't put it on the schedule, I will find something else to keep me busy in those 2 hours, and that project that I need to get done today won't get done. So I even block and make appointments with myself, in a sense. So looking at my watch and letting me know where I'm going to be next or what I need to do next as I go through the day, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, so to that end, I'm curious, watch face. So what watch face are you using? Because they don't all offer kind of the same complications or the same information.
Yeah, you know, my favorite one from the beginning has been utility.
Mm-hmm.
I like the analog watch look. I also, though, use the digital one. I don't know, what's that one called again? Let's see here. Modular.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm using.
Yeah, I like modular. I like utility. It just depends on the simple one doesn't do it for me, and the colored one I don't really care for that much either.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, my family, we're big Disney people, you know, because we live in Orange County.
Right.
So last night my wife had a special ticket. We got to go to a special pass holder event, so we went last night, and it was funny. We both independently, without even talking to each other, had switched our faces to the Mickey Mouse face when we were at Disneyland. And you know, I just felt like, hey, this is time off. And then suddenly, it doesn't show my next appointment. It doesn't show all the, you know, kind of like data. It just shows Mickey Mouse, and that's because I'm there to have fun. I'm not there to think about this other stuff. So it's kind of fun how you can kind of switch the faces around. I wish there were more,
yeah.
But I suspect Apple wants to really control that, at least for this initial phase of the launch of the watch. They don't want a bunch of, you know, really dorky looking faces on their watches.
Yeah. I like that they let you save the different sort of settings too, right? So you can kind of set up some of your favorites. So you could have that Mickey one, you know, for the weekends or evenings or something like that, and then just easily switch back and forth.
Yeah, it is. It's really easy, and it doesn't take much time. I like going through. I mean, I spent time going through each face and looking at all the ways I could customize it. You know, because I'm a geek, I can't help myself. And but you know, if I had to pick just one, I'd say utility is the one I like the most.
I might have to play around with that one a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with it.
Is that that's not the one that's the? No, yeah, because that's the one with the yep. There's the chronograph one would drive me nuts. Is the one I was looking at. You know, yeah, like a million dials and stuff like that.
I just think that would be hard to read. I mean, I am, with my 47-year-old eyes, I cannot read half of the stuff on the chronograph face. I don't even know what's going on there. So, you know. But the, you know, there's some, you can tell they spent a lot of time on this. The planet one's kind of fun, you know, just as kind of a show-off thing.
Yeah, my kids liked that one. We played around with that one for a bit. It's kind of neat to be able to go up to the moon and see the moon phases and then to hit the digital crown and sort of roll it forward and backward to see where it's going to be at the end of the month or
yeah,
you know, which phase it's going to be in.
Or even just the, we were, I was taking a walk with my daughter at the beach and we were looking at, you know, a very bright star, which we knew was a planet. And I just looked at my watch to see what planet was closest at the time. And sure enough, that was it, you know, so it's kind of fun. you know, just, I mean, I'm such a geek. I can't help myself.
No, I mean, we all are, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned, I mean, obviously OmniFocus is a big app for you. Do you have a lot of apps installed? Is there any apps like you're like, oh, this is great?
I'm playing with apps.
Yeah.
Not more than I'm, you know, like OmniFocus is one that I have found immediately kind of useful. I also like Overcast, because I'm a podcast listener, guy, and Marco did a good job of making that, you know, that glance allow you to start and stop and advance and rewind. And, oh, yeah, cool. That's all you really need. And I know he's even continuing to work on that. So that's kind of neat. The apps are better than I thought they would be, because when the initial reviews came out, they were pretty critical of, you know, the apps, and especially the ones that require an internet connection. Like I've heard from several people that the Uber one,
right,
takes a long time to get you an actual Uber sent to your phone because, you know, all those problems you're talking about with Siri times 10.
Yeah, I didn't have too much trouble with it, actually.
Okay, well, there you go. but the ones that, like OmniFocus, where you're really just pulling data from an app on the phone and sharing it back and forth, I found them, you know, they're useful. Sometimes it takes a second or two to load up, but it's fine. You know, it's faster than pulling it out of my pocket and doing all these things. In fact, it makes me think that your big, gigantic iPhone may have a place, you know, because suddenly, you know, one of the problems with the 6 Plus was just to check a message or something, you had to wrestle that thing out of your pocket. Well, not anymore. So,
yeah,
I don't know where it all is heading, but it's nice.
Yeah, I think what developers do with the apps and things like that is going to be really important. You know, just like it was with the iPhone and the iPad too, though, to sort of the future of the platform and sort of how it integrates into people's lives. And honestly, I was telling a couple of people, I'm impressed with what developers have been able to do without having access to the physical thing. Like the apps that are there, yeah, they're not perfect, but they're pretty darn good day one. And I really think they're only going to get better as developers sort of figure out the right way to kind of use this interface.
Yeah, and we're really early. I know that it's going to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. But still impressive day one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot more stable than you really expect it to be as a brand new product on day one. It's a new operating system. And they were pretty aggressive. Like one of the things I'm not really that happy with is this home screen.
The app launcher.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems to break a lot of the rules that we're used to in terms of size of touch targets and all these things. I mean, I'm just not sure that's the best implementation. I'm sure they had other ideas. I would have loved to see what they were.
Yeah.
And I think the navigation could stand to do a little better, you know. Like, for instance, touching the digital crown does not render consistent results, which I think it should. You know, I almost feel like pushing in on the digital crown should always just put the watch face on the screen.
Yeah.
And just always. I mean, like on the phone, you tap the home screen button, it always takes you to the home screen. I think on a watch, the most important thing is you should always be able to get the watch face up. And as it is, you touch the home screen in some circumstances and it brings the watch face. Other circumstances, it brings the app launcher. Other, you know, circumstances, you know, it just, it yeah. centers on the icon for the watch screen, but doesn't give you the watch.
That one bothers me a lot. Yeah. So if you've launched an app, right, and then you press the crown, it goes back to that icon on the app screen. And then you tap it again, it centers back to the watch app, which is the center of all of the apps. And then you have to tap it again to get back to the watch face. I'm totally with you. It should just be, I tap out and I'm back at the watch face is sort of where I want
every
to be.
Time.
And then I'll drill back into apps if I need to.
Yeah. And yeah. I just think that should be like a sacred button, just like the home screen button is on the iPhone. And it always gets you the watch face. And then you've got that second button that is kind of wasted on your frequently used friends. I mean, yeah. I it seems to me like that would be a good button to get you to the app launcher or some. I don't know. It just seems to me that, if, like, when I'm explaining it to my friends and family, they get really confused about, well, I don't understand what happens when I do this. And you even saw this with some of the initial reviews from the people in the tech press who presumably understand the stuff better, but they were getting confused. So I would have tried to simplify that. And in my mind, after using it for all of 3 days, I think that tapping the crown to the watch would have been a pretty nice behavior.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, always. And then yeah. you add confusion on top of it. So like you mentioned the friends thing, the thing that's bothering me is that the side button for accessing your friends works like we just described wanting the apps to work. So you tap that, if you select a friend and you wait it to go into sort of that friend view where you can, you know, do a phone or a message or the digital touch, and you tap the side button again, it doesn't go back to the friend screen. It goes back to the watch face.
Yeah.
So there's some inconsistencies, too, I think they need to sort of work through. But overall, I'm pretty impressed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you take it from zero, and they're saying, okay, Apple has a watch now. And I'm just really happy with it. And I'm glad I bought the lower-end one. I actually was considering the steel one mm-hmm. because I was thinking I'll get the leather band and blah, blah, blah. But the I just said, you know, it's a Generation 1 product, and I know I'm going to want the Generation 2 product. So I just went with the aluminum, and the rubber band is working just fine for me. It's not too bad.
I like it a lot. It's yeah. really a lot more comfortable than my Pebble one.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure there'll be a big third-party market of these bands in short order, but I'm not sure I'm going to even be that interested in it. This one works fine.
Yeah. Well, I want to change my style up a little bit, I think, from time to time. I mean, blue, you have a more traditional one that probably goes yeah. with more things. Bright blue or baby blue doesn't really go with everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, cool. Thanks, Dave. I want to, you know, just say thank you for coming on and giving us your first impressions. I know it's still pretty early, but thanks for taking the time. And if people want to check out what you're up to, you got some things going on with your show, probably, that people should know about, I think, right?
Yeah. The Mac Power Users has a new home. We moved over to Relay FM, so you can go to relay.fm/MPU if you want to find our show. And if you're a listener of Mac Power Users, I'd like to encourage you to go resubscribe because, you know, the feed will be changing at some point and we don't want to lose you. So go please check that at relay.fm/MPU. And if you just want to type the feed in, it's relay.fm/MPU/feed, FEED. And also just go over to maxsparky.com where you can find out, you know, I write up things about the Apple Watch and the books I publish and the video screencasts and all the other stuff I do. So go check it out. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, people should check out the Mac Sparky books and field guides and stuff on the iBookstore too.
Yeah, you betcha.
Cool. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Well, hey, Veronica, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good. I guess we're in that lucky few group that has Apple Watches.
The lucky few that stayed up all night until it was ready for ordering.
Well, you know, there's some, it's a little confusing on shipments and when shipments are going to come. And I have some friends. I feel bad somewhat doing this show. I was saying to someone else earlier because I did get my watch and they're still waiting on theirs and they ordered literally the same time as I did. So
did they order the exact same build? No.
Most people seem to be waiting on the stainless. I don't know which one. Which one did you end up? I don't even know which one you got.
I got the white sport.
White sport.
38. Okay. Yeah.
So basically, I'm just getting friends and people I know who did get the watch on to ask the question, because we've had it for a few days now. I guess, I'm assuming you got yours Friday. And
I did.
Okay. So what do you think? What, you know, has it radically changed your life?
I still don't know. I mean, that's the hard part, is it hasn't been enough time yet.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm still kind of in the honeymoon phase where I'm looking at it all the time and playing with it all the time. But I haven't been able to really, you know, quantify the amount of change that it's caused yet, or really be able to figure out if it's making a marked difference in my day-to-day technology use. Probably the biggest thing is that I don't feel like I need to have my phone in the room as much anymore. Yeah. I can kind of walk away from my cell phone, which is a big deal for someone like me, because I always have my cell phone, my iPhone 6, like attached to my hand. So that's been probably the biggest difference. I have been enjoying the fitness tracking aspect of it, and I don't mind that it bugs me to get up and walk around a little bit. I actually like that. So that's, yeah, those are probably the biggest changes I've noticed so far. And you were having some pretty bad battery life issues,
weren't
you?
Just one day. Yeah, I had to kind of clarify that. So I think, I'm not really sure what happened. I did a workout in the morning, and when I went to finish up after the workout, and I was putting the watch in the locker, the two little green lights were on, the sensors, and they were seemed like they were stuck on. I didn't know if they were going to go off or not. I kind of waited 30, 60 seconds. Maybe I needed to wait longer. I don't really know. So I think maybe it might have gotten confused, and maybe that drained the battery life a little bit extra that day. I didn't think I was using it excessively, but, you know, I got toward the middle of the afternoon, and it was down pretty low. So reboot. After that, and then I also did, I have one app that was sort of doing excessive notifications, and so I removed that app, and then since then, it's been fine.
So good. Yeah,
I was getting near as good as you were.
Typically, I'm ending up around the 50% mark at the end of the night. So when I'm turning in, I check the battery. It's usually around between 50 and 55% so far, which seems reasonable. I mean, I don't expect it to be at 80% at the end of a full day of use, but I also haven't need to recharge it at all during the day, which was one thing I was kind of concerned about.
Yeah. So have you been really strict about the apps and the notifications you're getting and that sort of thing? I mean, because you that seems a little more than what I'm hearing from other folks. I'm hearing people getting to the end of the day with 15 to 30%. So
I don't know. I'm not really sure what other people's usage is like. The most notifications I'm probably getting right now is from email or from messages, iMessage. But otherwise, I kind of turned off a lot of notifications for things, including Periscope, Foursquare notifications,
that may
things
be
like that.
Part of the problem. I get a lot of Periscope notifications.
There you go. Yeah, Periscope. I was like, well, I'm not going to watch Periscope on my watch, so I don't really care that much to know when people are going live. And it was kind of a battery hog. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, it's been pretty manageable. I am pretty strict about clearing my notifications as well. It's one thing that kind of drives me nuts. I hate that little red dot. It's making me crazy.
So you
first world problems,
I'm assuming then you figured out the force touch thing on that screen so you can clear them all.
Right.
Yeah. I just learned that. So I'm partially saying it to share it with people because like you don't have that feature on the phone, right? Do you? No. You get it on their watch.
What? They don't have, the clear all notifications. Yeah, you can if you go into the notifications on your phone.
Yeah, sort of one by one though, right? You can't just like, I can't if I've got mail and, right?
Is there not that? Yeah, there really isn't, is there?
You can do them in groups. You can clear a group, but I don't think, as far as I know,
I can't even figure out how to clear a group. I'm trying to do it right now.
You tap the little X and it just says clear.
There's no X.
In your notifications on your phone?
Yeah, on the pull down at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no, you can't do it for a whole group from there anyway.
No. It might depend on the notification too. I don't think you can clear calendar ones, but everything else I thought.
It's annoying.
Okay. Yeah, anyway. Point is you can do it on the watch, which hopefully that's one of those features that makes its way, its way back.
But I am liking it. I'm looking forward to trying out getting some new bands for it. Like I mentioned, I have the white sport right now, which is fun, and I do use it for exercising a lot.
Right.
But I definitely want to either, my two top choices for bands right now are either the brown leather modern clasp or the Milanese loop.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting on third-party ones because those Apple ones, as nice as they are, and they are really nice, I don't know, they seem a little pricey.
Are they like $150 for typical ones?
Yeah.
It's expensive, but it's, I guess, I think we're desensitized to how much things cost in the Apple world these days.
So I wanted, so you're struggling a little bit with the fashion thing too, because that was one thing that I was like, yeah, I got the blue sport one and the 38 millimeter, but you know, it's not, the style's not great for everything, right?
Right. I'm a big watch wearer, so I wear watches pretty normally in my day-to-day life, which is one thing that's kind of weird, is that now I have to make a choice. Do I wear my normal watches ever again? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
It depends on how integral it becomes to what you do on a daily basis, right?
Right. Yeah, this is something I have definitely put some thought into.
I didn't think about that for people who are like really watch wearers, and especially, you know, if a lot of that side of it is the whole fashion thing.
Right.
And as much as Apple wants to push the fashion, is it really all that fashionable?
Big watches, I think, are fashionable.
Right.
And I think the watch looks good. I don't like the plasticky bands as much. So I definitely want to have an option to change that out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know yet what that's going to be, or if it, you know, the third party bands I think will be awesome. I am looking forward to that as well. They're always, you know, a little less expensive and a little more creative. But I don't know how long is that going to take before people start coming out with those products. I feel like I want to see them now.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I mean, I guess the thing I'm thinking about really is, I mean, you do hosting of stuff. And so if you're hosting an award show or something like that, I mean, is the Apple Watch really the thing that you're going to want to be wearing?
Probably not.
Yeah.
And the other conflict I'm seeing right now is I'm a big Fitbit user, and I've been using a Fitbit for as long as I can remember.
Right.
But I use the kind that kind of clips onto your pants. Mm-hmm. I don't wear the wrist one for that exact reason, because I didn't always want to have something on my wrist that was kind of utilitarian looking. And so if I did do something like an award show, and which I have done, I'm able to clip it into my bra or onto my underwear, or, you know, any number of secret hidden places. You can't really do that with the watch.
Yeah.
So if you're depending on that for your activity tracking, and if you take activity tracking seriously, which I know a lot of people do, that might be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that you're kind of not liking about it, just out of curiosity? Anything that bugs you?
I have been having a couple issues with getting it to kick in. Mm-hmm. So like if I, you know, usually it's really good when I turn my wrist, it figures it out and lights up. But once in a while, it kind of have to do that like wrist twisting dance to try to make it pay attention to me, get that right exact like movement it's looking for. And then today when I was doing a workout at TRX, the instructor was like screaming at us, and Siri kept thought that she was talking to her.
Oh, no.
And so Siri kept popping up. I was like, shut up, lady. Siri being the lady I was referring to,
luckily,
not my instructor.
She doesn't talk, right?
She does not, yeah. And I've turned off all sound notifications as well. So that's not the issue, but I was definitely noticing it. It was kind of annoying. But, you know, again, not a major problem, just something that I thought was funny.
Well, she must have been yelling, hey, a lot or something like that, right?
She was saying, like, okay, guys, or blah, blah, whatever, let's go, yeah. Something, you know, to that effect, yes.
Right, the trigger words.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That would be annoying.
Yeah.
So what about on the app sides? Is there any apps that you're finding useful? Or that's been a little bit weird for me. Like, I'm not sure about apps, considering they're not even, a lot of them aren't even kind of full apps yet.
Mm-hmm.
You messing with that at all?
Yeah. I mean, I've been looking forward to some apps that don't exist yet. For example, my August Lock doesn't appear to have an app yet. And that would be really great. Yeah. That would be so great. My alarm system has an app, which is nice. So I can arm and disarm my household alarm system.
Yeah.
United has an app. I don't really know. It doesn't seem to be recognizing stuff as easily. It hasn't been super useful to me yet, but I also haven't traveled yet. And I tried to do Apple Pay today, and I forgot what the combination of things you're supposed to do to make Apple Pay kick in.
Double tap the side button.
double tap the side button, which the top button or the
what they call the side button, which is the big one that looks like the sleep wake power button on your iPhone.
Oh, see, it says no cards, even though I do have cards.
Well, so here's the weird thing. We were talking, I mentioned this. I was on Mac Break Weekly today and I gave this as my tip because this confused me at first too. So you go into the watch app on your phone, right? And one of the settings under Apple Pay says, like, mirror my phone.
Yeah, so you thought it would use your phone stuff that you set up, but you have to add credit or debit card?
Yes, because the mirror is just for your notifications.
Oh, that's baloney.
So the whole UI is completely confusing. But then Leo mentioned the thing that I didn't think of, which I guess a listener had told him. The secure enclave, you know, that sort of special chip where all the stuff gets stored might be part of the problem because they probably, for security reasons, can't transfer from one secure enclave to another. So you have to re-add your cards back to the watch.
That's pretty smart.
So people are listening. Before you go use Apple Pay, you got to put them back in, unfortunately.
Yes. I was all excited, too, because I was like, oh, great. It's my first opportunity to try Apple Pay on my watch. Yeah.
I can vouch for it, though, because I did go to a Walgreens and I used it. And the guy was, like, taken aback and it worked really great.
He was super impressed.
Yeah, almost better than the phone because you don't have to hold your finger to it. You know, it was just sort of double tap and then flip it over onto the reader.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm adding it right now as we speak.
Love the Apple Pay.
That's definitely a killer feature for sure.
But I think you bring up a good point, too, is I kind of feel like, you know, Apple does this all the time. They'll release a product, and I know they kind of got developers in a little bit early. You know, they kind of open things up. But without the actual devices to be able to sort of test things against and figure out UIs and things like that, it seems like even the apps that are here, they're good, but they all kind of need a little probably tweaking. And I think that's just
a little finessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think once we see more apps, too, and what really I think the power of the utility. So I'm asking everybody, you know, what do you think of it now? But it is sort of a hard question to answer because just like the iPhone or the iPad, it took, you know, sort of the apps to kind of really figure out how we were going to use these things.
Exactly. Yeah. Making the best use of the existing technology. There's a lot of apps I'm looking forward to. And I have spoken to some people who I won't mention, but they launched apps for Apple Watch and they were not happy with how, you know, it actually worked, you know, when they got in there.
Yeah.
So people are working on it for sure.
It's hard to do with a simulator, you know, when you can't tap or touch or, I mean, there is a different sort of part of the experience, I think, that's tangible. And until you really have that thing, I admire developers for all they're able to do without that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty impressive. Well, cool. Any other thoughts? Or
I did. Both Ryan, my husband, and I both accidentally called Ubers the first night that we got our watches because we couldn't figure out the UI.
The one button Uber UI.
So I wonder how prevalent that was in the first night or the first weekend, at least, of people accidentally calling Ubers and not being, because you can't cancel them really from the watch. You have to go to the phone.
Force touch.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
is that it? It's a force touch thing too. Yeah, therein lies the secret. It's always force touch.
I think I pressed the Uber thing too, not realizing, and I believe I figured out it was a force touch. But don't quote me on that. I think that's what I did. I'm trying to go off memory, but that was the other sort of secret tip. Seems to be force touch is key in a lot of apps and places, and that's another one of those UI things. That's I think a big learning curve because we've never had force touch before. And two, it's like a hidden menu. Like who would know? Like, oh, I need to force touch here so that I can get these additional options sort of things. So there's, you know, this feeling like there's definitely a learning curve. Some people have put that as a big negative, and I've tried to kind of look at it like I'm trying to remember what it was like when we first had the iPhone. I think we all did a little fumbling around then, too.
Yeah, but I feel there's less options. So I feel like force touch is probably a good bet if you can't figure out how to do something.
Right.
Give the force touch a try.
Yeah, it's like holding the option key on the Mac. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll find that. Well, cool. Thanks, Veronica. I appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. You want to let people know sort of what you're up to, your podcast, things you're doing, and where they can find all that stuff?
Sure, yeah. You can always find me on Sword and Laser at swordandlaser.com. It's my sci-fi fantasy show with Tom Merritt. And speaking of Tom Merritt, we are about to hit the next milestone in the Daily Tech News Show Patreon, which means that myself and Scott Johnson will be regular weekly contributors. So if you want to see that happen, you can head over to the Daily Tech News page on patreon.com and contribute and get us to the next milestone. We're very excited about that. Also, Vaginal Fantasy, my sci-fi fantasy romance book club with Felicia Day, Bonnie Burton, and Kyla Casby, is tonight, actually Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at, I don't remember what our YouTube, at youtube.com/vaginalfantasy. Cool. Easy enough to remember.
And then you're on the Twitters and the social media and all that.
Yeah, at Veronica on Twitter, at Veronica on Instagram, and facebook.com/Veronica Belmont.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Arfon, how's it going?
Oh, so good. How are you?
Good. It's been a hairy few days for you, I guess, waiting by the door for the UPS
guy.
Yeah,
it has. It's funny because my little conspiracy theory that people keep telling me I'm wrong, but the more I order Apple products, I'm beginning to believe that this is actually true. You order an Apple product, they tell you it's going to get to your house in 2 months, and then miraculously, within a week, you have it at your door and you're so surprised. You tell all your friends and family and everyone cheers for you. And that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, they told me it was going to arrive at my house sometime in June. And then one day, shipping notification, your Apple Watch is shipped. And then within 24 hours, I had it at my door.
Oh, so you're in that special, special group that the rest of my friends who, you know, ordered about the same time I did and still aren't getting them till, you know, mid-May. They're cursing at you right now.
Well, that makes me feel better about myself, actually. Well, I ordered mine Friday morning, right? So they went on sale
right.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
So I waited to the morning and
weren't even up at midnight? You're making it worse. You're making it worse.
I went to bed. I slept peacefully all night long. And when I awoke, rested in the morning, I said, I'll just go ahead and put in an Apple Watch order.
And what's your email address?
It is It's fatcast@gmail.com.
Oh, perfect.
And so I really wasn't expecting to get an Apple Watch until June, but this keeps happening with every single gadget I order from Apple. They always say, it's gonna be here in seven months.
Mac. He has to have one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure that was exactly what happened. No, they like to surprise and delight, right? They do this. This is architected, I truly believe. They do this on purpose. They want to under-promise and then over-deliver, and that happens to me with every single Apple product that I pre-order. So everyone who thinks that they're going to be getting theirs in May or in June, just wait. You're going to have it tomorrow. I promise you, tomorrow it's going to be at your door. When does this air? This airs in
tonight.
June, right? Okay. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. This airs on the 28th of April.
Oh, well, maybe, several weeks.
All right. So I guess I better bring us back to the topic at hand, which is you've had probably the shortest amount of time of all the folks that I'm talking to with the Apple Watch. I think it arrived, yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, I got it yesterday afternoon.
Okay. So you've had 24 hours. So I want to know your solid opinion about everything related to the Apple Watch.
Wow, everything. Whoa.
Right, gosh. Yeah. Like, how good is it? How bad is it? Because 24 hours should be plenty of time.
Yeah, it's been just under 24 hours, and I will say, let me just start with this. There are a lot of things I could say. There are a lot of things I could bemoan about the Apple Watch.
Right.
People who listen to my show know I've been very lukewarm on this device. Not that I didn't think it was going to be cool. I just didn't think it was going to be revolutionary, amazing. I don't think it's a must-have product. Mm-hmm. And once I got it, once I put it on my wrist, I quickly grew to love it. And I'm not a watch person. I think that's an important caveat. Not at all a watch person. In fact, historically, I hate wearing watches. Mm-hmm. But I've grown to love this one in the short amount of time that I've had it. Although all of my apprehensions about this watch have not proven to be untrue. It doesn't really do a lot of stuff for you at this point. In fact, my coolest feature that I like about it the most out of everything so far is the clock.
I just having the time on your wrist. It's a pretty good feature, though. I mean, it's a pretty important feature.
Okay, but hold on. This is something that only Apple does, unless you're going to buy like a Motorola smartwatch or something. Is that yes, it's just a watch, but you can customize the faces. And there's many different faces that you can customize, and you can fine tune it to just how you like it. So it's not just the clock. For me, I also have a stopwatch built in, so I can swing my watch over, look down at it, and I can tap the stopwatch button. And that's eminently useful if you are a podcaster, right? You always need to know how long your show is going, and I always forget to hit the timer. But also, if you grill steaks a lot, as I do, you always need to have a timer on your wrist. And this one is very easy to access. So I would say that the stopwatch.
Is that one of the complications, or are you using like the chronograph face?
It's one of the little additions you can add on to the different faces.
Okay, the complications.
So the complications, yes. And you can add it to most of the different faces, I think. Oh, maybe that's cool. Possibly all of them.
Yeah, I saw that in there, and I didn't realize that would work. So does it actually then open up the... the stopwatch, because there's a stopwatch app, right? So does it just launch into the stopwatch app, or does it just start the stopwatch right there in the face?
It does launch the app.
Okay, cool.
It does
launch the app.
But yeah, it's great and very, very useful. So that's the stuff that I've been liking the most, and being able to see the temperature for my city, the weather predictions, that type of stuff.
You know, I was wondering about that one today, though, because I'm like driving in the car, right? I'm like, I picked that as one of the things that I wanted on the watch, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm out and in the world and driving around, I kind of know what.
Well, hold on a second.
You don't know the exact temperature, but I mean, I can kind of guess.
Okay,
within
you live
a degree
in San Diego. This is the most useless feature for you and every single person that lives in your city. It's going to be 72. You don't need to have this set up on your watch.
It's funny that you say it's 72. I looked at my Apple Watch. It's 72.
It's 72. Now, in Seattle, on the other hand, yesterday it was 75, and today the high was 54. So wherever you live, if you don't live in paradise as you do and just walk around in your Speedo all day as you probably do,
yep,
as I've heard
out by
you
the
do,
pool with margaritas.
Exactly. Then it's actually useful to know what the temperature is going to be for that day. But as far as the features that I don't like, this is a V1 product. I think it's important to keep that in mind, right? V1 product. It's going to have a lot of issues, and I think they're going to iron out a lot of this stuff. But I don't know about you. Have you found that the UI to be confusing and perplexing? It took me probably 45 minutes just to figure out how to switch the face of the clock. And for the first time in my life, I found myself reading an Apple product user manual. Because I just couldn't figure it out. I had absolutely no idea how to do it. And then once you kind of figure out, okay, there's the force touch mechanism, there's the digital crown mechanism, there's the scroll or the touch mechanism. Once you kind of get an idea of how it works, it starts to make more sense. But you said you were confused too?
Well, I wasn't, but you know why?
Why?
There's this website called Cultimac.
Oh, you read that? Wow.
And they did this great article, confused about the Apple Watch UI, memorized this cheat sheet, which I did.
You know the great thing about
John
that?
John Brown Lee wrote this article. It was great. He found this thing on Reddit.
Did it have, it had a chart and everything in it, right?
Yeah.
That showed you. That's funny because someone tweeted that at me yesterday, I think, and I was very appreciative. I was like, thank you. They probably got it off Cultimac.
And it was
which
great.
I read religiously every single day.
It broke it down. You know, no, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, there's a lot of non-intuitive stuff in here. And I mean, this doesn't cover everything, but this kind of covered the basics. So I did know how to get into the watch app and find the complications. And it's a great little flowchart. So people should go check that out, I guess is what I'm saying. I talked about it on my last podcast because I had found it and it helped me out a lot just with the initial UI. I think, you know, I've been hearing that complaint a lot, and I even talked about that myself. The thing about it is I'm also trying to remember. I think, you know, we forget, too, that, you know, when you first got your iPhone, you had all those new gestures, you know, you had that kind of new language, new tech language you had to learn, like when to pinch, when to, you know, pinch to zoom, when to double tap, when do I use two finger swipes or two finger taps and all those sorts of things. But it quickly becomes just sort of part of, you know, the technology and what you do. And so now, you know, everybody's familiar with those gestures. Now we have a brand new device that has some new gestures, like force touch, I think is a really critical one. And it's going to take a while for, I think, us to figure it out. So, you know, I don't know if it's better or worse. I'm trying to gauge that, you know, but with my memory being the way it was, I can't remember, you know, is this a little clunkier than when I first got my iPhone, or is it pretty much the same? And I don't know the answer to that.
I guess I never really felt like I was confused with my iPhone. As soon as I got it, I felt like it did a really good job at walking me through what it wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And helping me where it where they knew I would probably get confused interacting with it. And on the watch, boy, there's a lot of instances where I have not been able to figure out what
too.
To do.
Me too. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, you kind of do have to go look online or look up the manuals. But again, I just don't remember if, you know, when we first got iPhones and iPads and things like that, was it like that or not? I remember looking certain things up, and you learn those little tricks over time. So it's hard to go back that many years and sort of go,
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so great now, it's hard to remember how much it could have sucked when it first came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me mention some of the other things that I like about it since out the UI thing. So the screen on this device is the most gorgeous, sharp, saturated bit of 1-inch screen I've ever used. Wonderful to gaze upon. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I've been surprised too, even in relatively bright light. I had it in direct sunlight, full bright, and it was a little difficult to read there, but you just turn it, you know, a little bit to get it away from that, and it just brightens right up. Yeah, absolutely.
What about digital touch? So now when Tim Cook introduced digital touch, I was thinking to myself, this is such a gimmick. This is so dumb.
Yep.
Who's going to possibly find this to be as compelling as he described it? Well, I'm eating my hat because I received, this is going to sound so funny. I received a heartbeat from Buster Heine.
Yeah.
And
he
was thinking of me, and it's his actual heartbeat, as you know. And then immediately after, I received a little drawing of men's genitalia, which I was expecting from all the people I knew that got Apple watches, which quickly evaporated. But they are fantastic ways to connect with people, especially
if they have an Apple Watch.
If they have an Apple Watch, only if they have an Apple Watch.
Right.
But I think once more people have an Apple Watch,
yes,
it's a really powerful way to connect. Have you been able to do it with anyone?
Yeah, yeah, my brother
I'm
got
send
it.
You my
brother
right
got
an now.
My brother got an Apple Watch, so I tested it out with him.
Oh, how sweet and special.
I like my brother a lot, but I don't know about that much. I don't think I'm going to be sending him a bunch of those. But we did use the little tap thing is kind of interesting. Although that's one I wish that worked more like a message, and I thought it would be where you actually feel the taps once they're sent. So the only downside to that one, in my opinion, is what you get is you get a notification and then you can sort of play back the tap. But I sort of figured it'd be a good way to like get someone's attention. So if you send them a text message, right, and they don't respond, you can kind of, nudge them a little bit.
It is a great way because the notifications on this watch, when it taps you, are the far and away the best way to get my attention. At least they are right now. I'm sure once I'm getting notifications like
all
this for everything, right? I might learn to ignore them.
Develop the immunity.
Exactly. I won't even notice anymore. But immediately they get my attention. In fact, they're so jarring and disruptive that within the first 10 minutes of owning the Apple Watch, I found myself going through the menus and turning off the notifications for everything because people have said, oh, the Apple Watch is going to make it great. You'll be able to focus on just the things that are important to you. That's true, but you have to curate it heavily because your Apple Watch will mimic the notifications on your phone. Well, there's a lot of notifications I get on my phone that I do not want to tap me when they come in, right? I don't need to know who hearted my photo on Instagram on my wrist.
Yeah, I learned this lesson with my Pebble, but it's even, I think, more important on the Apple Watch considering how many developers are quickly adding Apple Watch support into their app. So you didn't do the thing where when you first set it up, you know, it asks you, do you want to load every app that you have on your phone onto your watch?
I did do that. I did do that. And within 15 minutes, I was going through and deleting them.
Yes. Yeah. That's of key critical importance. I think, you know, you do want it to be sort of personalized to just the things you most care about. Like I'm even struggling with email because I like getting email notifications, but I'm looking at those. And now that I'm seeing all those emails come in on my watch, I'm going, you know, I really probably don't need 80% of these. So I think my VIP list is probably going to grow, and I'm probably going to pare it down to just, you know, VIP messages. Because if I really think about it, at first I thought, well, I want to know about, you know, certain MacCast email, and I want to know about certain, because I do work with the guys at Mac Observer, so certain Mac Observer emails, and I just kind of have it turned on for all of those accounts. Mm-hmm. But I really might need to pare it down to specific people within those organizations and specific people that I get email from on the MacCast, I think, because you can't really read the messages there anyway. So what I really want to know is when a message from a certain person comes in, I want to know about it so that I can address it immediately. And then the other 90%, you know, can sit until I have time to get down to my email, you know, certain times of the day.
I think that's exactly how I think about it. In my mind, I'm like, is this email, is this notification from this app, is it so important that I want it to disrupt what I'm doing
right. And
interrupt me? And the more I think about it, the fewer apps. There's probably maybe like two or three apps that I think are worth letting do that to me. Maybe messages.
Right.
Retweets. No, I'm joking.
Twitter. Twitter may or may not be. Yeah. No, I like kind of getting those. I'm not getting too many of them. But, you know, if you compare it down to just specific app replies, or be even greater, if I could just get like DMs. I don't know if any of the apps support just
that would
notifying
be great.
You of direct messages.
Just DMs.
Yeah.
And as long as we're talking about apps, what do you think about the apps? I have been wholly underwhelmed by what I've seen so far. And that's one of the reasons why I think the watch face is probably one of my favorite features.
Why are you underwhelmed?
I just haven't seen anything. This has been my position the entire time, and it hasn't changed. Why would you want to do something on a 1-inch screen when you could be doing it much easier on your iPhone, on your Mac, like reading emails, like looking at Twitter, like looking at stuff on Instagram? Why would you want to minimize that experience and diminish it to a small screen that doesn't do it anywhere near as well as they can do it on a phone?
Right.
All the app interfaces that I've seen so far have been for the most part, gimmicky. They don't do anything very well. They just want to make sure they have an Apple Watch presence, so that I think a lot of them want to garner attention for their own apps, because if they have Apple Watch support, the Apple Watch selection is very small right now, so you'll perhaps use their app where maybe you otherwise would not, because the App Store is filled with so much stuff. So I haven't seen any compelling experiences. Have you?
Well, some of Apple's built-in stuff. I think the music player app is useful, right?
Okay.
Putting those controls onto your wrist.
I agree.
So I think what you're really getting at is the same sort of thing that I'm feeling is the whole point of the watch, and I think it's going to take developers a little while to sort of figure this out. And one thing I commented on a couple of these interviews about apps and developers is, you got to give them a little slack because they didn't have the physical device to sort of deal with, right? So I think right. given what the tools that they had, I think they, yes. A lot of them have done a very impressive job, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. they're now going to have to kind of go back now that they have the, because doing it in the simulator is one thing, but actually having the tangible thing and seeing how a tap feels and a swipe feels and, you know, does this really work? Doesn't this really work? I think it's a very different experience. So I think you'll see some sort of rethinking and retooling of some of those apps. But I think, you know, if they can focus on short little experiences and mm-hmm. meaning in some cases that's just going to be purely informational, I think mm-hmm. maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much, you mm-hmm. know, trying to get that like iPhone app experience on a watch. And that's, I agree, that's totally the wrong way to go. One app that I got addicted to that I was impressed with, mm-hmm. Believe it or not, is Trivia Crack, which is
a game. Is their app good for the Apple Watch? Huh?
You can play the whole game right on the watch. It has the spinner. It has, and they did a really nice job of re sort of formatting uh-huh. everything for uh-huh. the Apple Watch screen. I wouldn't want to play long term on it.
I was just going to say, why would you want to do that?
Well, so say I get up to walk into the kitchen and I'm getting, you know, I'm refilling my coffee. I'm waiting for the teapot to heat up. I left my phone at my desk. Well, I can play a quick game. You know, I can answer a couple questions. So short little interactions like that, right? I'm not going to play long term, a whole, you know, several rounds, but you know, it's a good enough to do that. Or the OmniFocus app is actually pretty good too, but it really only focuses on just giving you a look at, okay, what do I have to do today? You know, what do I have coming up? You can, you know, check off some things, but you're not going to get that full deep interaction. You know, for that, there's, you know, it's like go back to the phone. So they have, developers, I think, have to figure out like, where is that line? Where is, okay, this is the Apple Watch experience for this app. And I think the other thing, like you were saying, is not every app deserves an Apple Watch app.
And yet they're all making one.
Well, yeah, because it's the new hot thing and it's a way to get some attention, right? They are always having to sort of jump for attention. So we are going to get a lot of bad interface and we're going to have to kind of seek out the guys that are doing it right and know where this makes sense. But yeah, I'm going to, you know, sort of praise and admire the developers who are strong enough to say, we're not going to have an Apple Watch app because it doesn't make sense for our app. I think those guys need to be applauded and pointed to, as well as the guys that are going to do really great Apple Watch apps.
Are you telling me you don't think TurboTax needs to be on your Apple Watch? Because I don't know how I'm going to do my taxes without my Apple Watch.
I don't know. I mean, it depends.
You realize that is a real app.
Right.
What are you doing? Oh, my taxes.
Yeah. Another one I like is that, you know, the Fandango has an app and they have a glance. And I'm like, what could they possibly do with a glance? I like the app because, you know, you can put your movie ticket on there. And then when you get in, you just scan your movie ticket from your Apple Watch. But I think that's actually more part of Passbook. But their little glance app brings up a random quote.
And, like a movie quote?
Yeah, like a movie quote. So who said
that is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you can tap on it and then it launches their app and then you get the answer and a little bit of like a movie image, as like a still from the movie. So that's kind of
fun. That is really neat. And those are the kind of cool focused experiences that I would love to see more developers implement.
Yeah. Is it real useful? No. But if I'm bored in line and I wanna sort of quiz myself or get, you know, a little movie quote, it's kind of fun. Just to swipe up on the glance, take a look at it.
Yeah, I might have to check that one out. I don't have that on my Apple Watch. I've been cutting and slashing. I mean, everything must go on my Apple Watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really do want to be judicious. And you know, have you tried organizing your apps?
I have not tried organizing my apps yet.
That is a fun game.
Right?
Apple gamified that whole experience. Because you move one and then the one that you just moved moves away from it or moves into another location.
That in and of itself is a game.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They totally gamified. Like if you want to get them in a certain order or a certain pattern, you are going to spend so much time attempting to do that because they will run away from you and move into another spot. And like, so you got to figure out it's a puzzle. You have to figure out the exact order or exact way to move them so that the other one doesn't move to a spot where you did not want it.
Well, I know what I'm doing this Friday night. Thank you for suggesting that.
No. So what I was told is that, you know, forget the whole app launcher thing. Use Siri and just say open and then the name of the app that you want. You know, hey, Siri, open X.
I have tried that, but as with many other aspects of the Apple Watch, I find it to be a little laggy.
So
every time I've tried to use Siri, there's that 1 or 2 second delay. And then inherently she comes back and she's like, did you say something that I didn't say at all?
Oh, really?
That happens every single time. Yeah, I've had pretty good luck
so far with Siri, as well as
have very
dictation.
Good diction.
Well, and have you noticed the dictation does something really interesting? So it will, there's like a second parsing of the data, it seems to me, that happens. And I think it was Renee Ritchie at iMore was commenting that they had interviewed or talked to some folks who said that they redid some of the algorithms recently with the watch. So what I've noticed is I'll dictate something and it'll get it all wrong. Mm-hmm. And then it will slowly parse in and get more and more accurate, which is just bizarre and really cool to watch.
So, well, I might have to give Siri another go.
I've been using it for texting quite a bit, you know, to respond to text mm-hmm. messages and dictating in for text messages. And it's been fairly accurate. The only bummer there is if you get something wrong, unlike on the phone, you know, you can't tap it and then, you know, type in changes to it. You sort of have to just start all over, which is a little frustrating, but.
Yeah, especially on a 1-inch screen where my finger, every tap is like takes up half the screen. Have you found it tough to actually get your touches to register on the Apple Watch screen?
Yeah, sometimes too. Like you kind of have to, I've noticed I've had to tap and hold on a few buttons to kind of get them to register for a second. You know, I think this is all version one performance tweaking things, I hope.
Hopefully this is why I wanted to get the sport version, because I knew this is version one. It's going to be a fantastic device. It's a great device now.
Right.
And for anyone that can afford it, it's a wonderful iPhone accessory, I think.
Right.
But it's certainly not something that everyone needs to have. But in 2 or 3 years, I think it will become something that is going to be so much more useful than it is now. But that's why it's good to get the sport model now. So when it's ready for prime time in 2 years, you can get the Link bracelet with the steel Apple Watch. Have you seen that thing?
Yeah, that's the one that I wanted, the space black one. But
you wanted the black one. Oh, my gosh.
The space black with the Link bracelet. You know, but $1,100 was not going to be what I was going to spend on a V1 product. Sorry.
Yeah, me either. Especially considering, you know, I'm not even sure this thing's going to work very well. I've never even seen it in person. So I'm just going to go ahead and blindly pre-order this. But once I saw it in the store, the steel edition with the Link bracelet, wow, what a gorgeous device. Yeah. And again, I'm not even a watch person, and I was considering dropping $1,000 on a watch.
It's got a nice weight to it and stuff like that. Well,
you got to wear it?
Yeah. Yeah, I did it on my try-on.
They didn't let me touch that one.
Oh, well. Maybe next time. All right. Well, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. Thanks for coming on and sharing your 24-hour experience with the Apple Watch.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope that I convinced someone to rush out and buy it right away so they can get it in May 2017.
Well, I mean, I think ending on your advice of, you know, it is a great accessory. I would agree with you. I'm not sure it's a must have for everybody, but I mean, Apple fans are gonna want it anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, and it has that Apple lust factor, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks, Irfan. And so I know people know you. You've been on the show before, but just remind everybody where they can find out, you know, what you're up to, what you're doing, follow you, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, at Irfan, E-R-F-O-N, on Twitter. If you would like to check out the CultCast and don't currently listen, we would just love to have you listen to the show. You can search CultCast, C-U-L-T-C-A-S-T, on iTunes. Our information isn't nearly as accurate as Adam's, but we like to have fun on this show. That's what it's about,
isn't
it?
Fun. Yeah, I love it. I get to come on every once in a while, and I have a great time.
And we love
time.
Having you on.
Have a great
finally,
time
someone
every time.
Knows what they're talking about.
Yep.
And so, that's all I got.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You betcha.
So there you go. That's what we thought about the Apple Watch, having spent just a few days time with it. I think everybody agrees that over time, this is really going to change. It's going to take a while to really form a solid opinion about the Apple Watch. But at least, you know, just with, you know, a little bit of time with it, what kind of the first impressions are. And I really do believe that once developers start working with this, once we start getting more of the apps coming out, once Apple maybe, and it's pretty certain that Apple's going to release a way for developers to build native apps. Once we're able to do that, I think it's just going to become more and more useful. And I really think this is another sort of platform that Apple is going to build upon, and it's going to evolve. It's going to adapt. It's going to sort of become, I think, more and more a integral part of the whole experience that we have with our devices. So I think we're going to have our Macs on our desktops and our notebooks, and we're going to have our iPads and our iPhones and mobile, and that's all going to be supplemented with these kinds of wearables like the Apple Watch. And I'm excited to see what this becomes, where it goes, and what happens in the future. But for now, you know, again, I think the summary is I'm really enjoying the Apple Watch. And I think, you know, Irfan there at the end had the right idea. Is it an absolute essential product? No. But I think for fans like myself and some of you, I think it is a great addition to our sort of iDevice collection. And I know I'm going to be buying. I know I'm going to be buying the next one at this point, and I'm really going to enjoy this one until then. So, there you have it. There are. There's the thoughts on Apple Watch. If you have an Apple Watch and you want to provide some of your feedback, some of your initial first impressions, I'd love to hear from you. You can, of course, send feedback, emails, and comments to maccast@gmail.com. You're also welcome to call in on the listener hotline, 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IM-9. You can leave voicemail there. You can also leave voicemail on Skype. And my Skype username is TheMacCast, so just call in there and leave a voicemail there. If you need show notes with links to anything that I talked about on this or any other episode of The MacCast, you'll find those on the website. That's at maccast.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the forum at forum.maccast.com. And if you're on the social medias, the Twitters, the Facebooks, those sorts of things, you can follow me there. MacCast on Twitter. Also check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMacCast. And we do have a Google Plus community. If you lean that direction, just search for MacCast on Google Plus and you will find us there. But for now, that'll do it. And I will talk to you all again real soon.
That was hilarious. It's just like, I just finished deleting it from my photo stream, so I don't have to see it anymore.
Why not?
Because it looks like somebody else. It's just disgusting. It's horrible. Let's see. Yeah.
What are you saying? You're saying I look disgusting? Thank you.
In that photo, you're repulsive.